This is Linda Bott, and let me tell you about our North State Now show on Thursday nights at 6 p.m. right here on KCNR. The first Thursday of the month will be yours truly, covering arts and entertainment and all kinds of fun stuff. The second Thursday will be Michelle Slade, highlighting and interviewing North State heroes. The third Thursday is James Masada and Rhonda Alvey, bringing you all things with Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. And the fourth Thursday from Shasta Regional Medical Center is Dr. Orna Gill, covering all things women's health. The title sponsor for North State Now is the Reading Civic Auditorium, also brought to you by the Black Bear Diner, Shasta Regional Medical Center, and Carlene's Restaurant and Bar, located at 1100 Center Street. That's North State Now, right here on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. 6 p.m. North State Now.
Hey, hey, welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Got a ton to get to this hour. A little bit later on in the hour, we'll review how the ratings went for the Democrats the other night. Not great. We will start, however, with the chaos that has broken out in Israel over the indictment of sitting Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Okay, so it is a chaotic world out there. My goodness. The level of chaos. I mean, just around the globe. You got rolling protests in Iran. Apparently over 100 protesters have been shot by the government. You have the situation in Hong Kong where the Chinese government is running roughshod over protesters, solidifying its grasp on a territory that it was not supposed to be in control of until something like 2040. You've got situations all around the world that are just a mess. I mean, just a mess everywhere. Well, that mess got a lot larger for Israel yesterday when Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu was indicted on three separate counts on corruption and fraud and abuse of trust. Well, what exactly were the charges? There were three charges. The charges were really about effectively bribery. The charges were made by a man named Mandelblit, Avichai Mandelblit. He's the attorney general. He used to work for Netanyahu. So the idea that Mandelblit is motivated purely by a desire to, quote unquote, get Netanyahu is likely untrue. Now, there have been accusations of police misconduct or pressure on witnesses. Those are the charges that Netanyahu is making. Netanyahu called the prosecutors. He said that they were staging an attempted coup. Mandelblit himself said a day in which the attorney general decides to serve an indictment against a seated prime minister for serious crimes of corrupt governance is a heavy and sad day for the Israeli public and for me personally. He obviously was unhappy about having to bring the charges. He said, this is not a matter of politics. It's an obligation placed on us, the people of law enforcement, and upon me personally as the one at its head. Now, all of this comes in the middle of a massive political crisis inside of Israel. The massive political crisis that Israel has experienced two elections in the past year alone. There's an election back near the beginning of the year in which, effectively speaking, no coalition was able to be formed. A second election was declared. No coalition was still able to be formed. To understand exactly what's going on in Israel, you sort of have to understand their system. So very different than the United States. In the United States, there are basically two parties. One party gains a majority in the House. One party gains a majority in the Senate. One party becomes the president. These elections are utterly disconnected. You vote for the person. You don't vote for the party. In Israel, as in Great Britain, for example, instead, you have what's called the parliamentary system. In the parliamentary system, you don't vote for the person, you vote for the party. That means that Benjamin Netanyahu has been prime minister of Israel because the Likud party, his party, has been able to win a plurality of the votes in these elections and then form a coalition with other right-wing parties in Israel to form a majority of the Knesset, which is the Hebrew word for parliament. So there are 120 seats in Knesset. You need 61 seats in your coalition in order to be able to govern. Netanyahu has been doing that consistently since 2009. He's the longest-serving prime minister in Israeli history. Well, he was unable to gain a governing majority at the beginning of this year for the first time in a long time, and that was because an erstwhile party in his coalition led by a guy named Avigdor Lieberman, who had once been very close to Netanyahu, decided not to form a coalition with Netanyahu and the right-wing religious parties. He sees the religious parties as rent-seeking and basically taking welfare money, and so he didn't want to join that coalition. And instead, he thought about joining a coalition with the left, but there weren't enough votes on the left for him to form a majority coalition. Second election happens, same thing happens. And that leads to this period in which Netanyahu is serving as prime minister, but he doesn't actually have a majority. And that's just because no one else can form a majority. So I'll explain more about what exactly is happening in Israel, because it is completely chaotic and it is a complete mess. And it's worthwhile knowing because Israel is one of America's strongest allies. And obviously, Netanyahu is a world historical figure. I mean, this is a guy who has been in charge of a state for a decade and who stood up to Barack Obama, was a strong advocate for America's role in the world. We'll get to more of this in just one second. First, let's talk about keeping yourself safe online. So over the weekend, people were trying to hack me. Again, this happens fairly frequently, but they're having a rough time of it. Why? Well, because I use ExpressVPN. It's the app I use to stay secure online. Why should you care about encrypting your data? Well, the best way to ensure all your data is encrypted and can't be read by hackers is to use ExpressVPN. All you need to do is download the ExpressVPN app on your computer or smartphone. You tap one button to secure 100% of your network data, and then you can use the internet just the way you normally would. ExpressVPN is incredibly reliable. It's the fastest VPN service I've tried. They're also rated the world's number one VPN provider by review sites like TechRadar and CNET. ExpressVPN takes privacy and security to the next level. They actually invented a technology called Trusted Server to ensure that VPN servers run from RAM and no data logs are written to a server's hard drive, even by accident. So, if you want the best in online security and privacy protection, head on over to expressvpn.com/Ben for 3 extra months free with that 1-year package. Protect your internet today with the VPN I trust to keep my data safe. Go to expressvpn.com/Ben to get started. Again, that's expressvpn.com/Ben. Okay, so the cases against Netanyahu are really threefold. There is case 1000, case 2000, and case 4000. And again, we are now in this period where nobody's able to form a government. So Netanyahu is basically the figurehead prime minister. He still has the powers of prime minister because no one else can form a government, and there can't just be an absence at the top of the government in Israel. Basically, there's two main parties in Israel right now. There's Likud, and there's one called Kahol V'Lavan, which in Hebrew means blue and white. The blue and white party is sort of a coalition party of its own. It is led by a man named Benny Gantz, who was the chief of the IDF. He was the head military officer in the IDF. It's also led by a faction led by Bogi Ayalon, who's another general in the IDF, and Yair Lapid, who was a newscaster in Israel and was the son of a very famous figure in Israeli politics named Tommy Lapid. His main thing is that he won't sit with the religious party. So Benny Gantz, his party, and Netanyahu's party have had approximately the same number of votes in the last election cycle. Again, Avigdor Lieberman, who was that sort of middle guy, the guy who used to side with Netanyahu fairly routinely and then broke away from Netanyahu, he said he wouldn't sit in a coalition with the religious parties. And so Netanyahu does not have a right-wing majority, even though there really has been a right-wing majority elected. Okay, so this has led to this grave impasse in Israeli politics where Netanyahu was given a mandate to form a government, could not. And then Benny Gantz was given a mandate to form a government by the president of Israel, Reuven Rivlin. And then he was not able to form a government. And now there's this 21-day period we're in the middle of right now where literally anyone can form a government. If you go to the president with a piece of paper with 61 signatures of the members of Knesset, then you can form a government. But that expires on December 11th. On December 11th, a new election will be declared, the third election in the last year for prime minister of Israel. Now, Benny Gantz didn't want to form a coalition with Netanyahu, specifically because he saw these indictments coming down the pipe, and he figured, why am I forming a coalition with Netanyahu, who's going to be indicted? He had basically said, I'm willing to work with Likud, but I'm not willing to work with Netanyahu. Lieberman, similar sort of logic. He doesn't like Netanyahu either. He was sort of ousted from Likud by Netanyahu. So now they both have the wherewithal to basically put Netanyahu in a box. Now, by the same token, Netanyahu is fighting not only for his political life at this point and for leadership of the Israeli government, he's also fighting for his actual life at this point. Because now that he's been indicted, there are basically two different places he can be tried. If he is prime minister of Israel while he is sitting, right, if he is sitting prime minister of Israel and he is indicted and he goes through a trial, you're not automatically ousted in Israel. It's not like America where you can't be prosecuted if you're president and you have to be impeached before you can be prosecuted. In Israel, you can be prosecuted while you are the president, while you are the prime minister. So if Netanyahu is indicted while he is the prime minister, then he is tried in Jerusalem. Jerusalem happens to be a much more conservative right-wing city. Right? That means that he is likely to get off with some sort of slap on the wrist, pay a fine, pay back whatever payment for cigars he received, that sort of thing. If, however, he is not prime minister, he will be tried not in Jerusalem, but in Tel Aviv. Tel Aviv is a very left-wing city. Right, this is like the difference between if Donald Trump were going to be tried in Odessa, Texas, versus if Donald Trump were going to be tried in New York. Right, a very, very different thing. Like LA versus Ohio. Right, like it's a completely different thing. So Netanyahu really wants to be tried in Jerusalem, and he feels if he's tried in Jerusalem and he gets off a slap down the wrist, he continues his political career. Right, he continues being prime minister. If, however, he is ousted and then tried in Tel Aviv, he may end up in jail for 5 years, right? He could end up in jail for 5 to 7 years on these charges of bribery. The three charges, by the way, that he is being exposed to, and he says, Netanyahu for his part, he says this is all basically a game being played by the political left in Israel that is out to get him. He suggests correctly that the media do not like him. That's been true for a very long time in Israel. Israel has a universally left-wing media. The only real conservative news source in Israel is Israel Hayom, which is Sheldon Adelson's free newspaper. Here's Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister of Israel, explaining yesterday that this is basically a gotcha attempt by the left that could not defeat him in an election. So it feels very much like what President Trump says about the impeachment attempt in the United States.
The time has come to investigate the investigators. The time has come to investigate the attorney general that initiates this kind of investigation. I respect the police department and attorney general office, but we have to understand. But there are people that these people in police and attorney general, they are not above the law.
So according to Netanyahu, basically this is a railroading attempt because he could not be defeated in an election. So the three cases under which Netanyahu's indictment is indicted are case 1000, case 2000, case 4000. Case 1000 is a case where he allegedly received illegal gifts. So did members of his family, including pink champagne and jewelry and Cuban cigars and tickets to a Mariah Carey concert, which is a terrible bribe. And apparently, he supposedly received those gifts in order to benefit political allies. Police say that the allies, including an Israeli-born Hollywood producer named Arnon Milchan and an Australian investor named James Packer, received Netanyahu's political backing on key issues. For example, the prime minister pushed for a law, the media labeled it the Milchan Law, that cut taxes for Israelis returning to Israel after living abroad. Netanyahu's denied the allegations. He has said, like, you really think that I'm going to sacrifice my political career for some cigars? Because that is case 1000. And Mandelblit says that Netanyahu should be tried with fraud and breach of trust in connection with that case. Case 2000 is a case in which Netanyahu is accused of using his connections to Sheldon Adelson in order to broker a deal with the newspaper publisher of Yediot Aharonot, which is an Israeli daily paper, which is sort of center-slash-center-right, maybe. Under the alleged deal, the editor of Yediot Aharonot would have given better coverage to Netanyahu in return for Netanyahu telling Adelson to limit the circulation of Israel Hayom. Israel Hayom is a free newspaper published by Adelson, so it's got the biggest circulation in Israel. Adelson, for his part, says, I was never talked to about this by Netanyahu. It was Netanyahu blowing off steam and saying things. Apparently, this is one of the charges where he is basically being charged with breach of trust. And then there's case 4000, which is the most severe case. In this case, Netanyahu is alleged to have offered to help the so-called Bezek Group and its former owner, Shaul Elovich. Elovich is a close friend of Netanyahu. Apparently, he ordered the Walla news site to provide more favorable coverage of the Netanyahus in return for deregulation of the communications industry. According to the police, Netanyahu and his associates intervened in a blatant and ongoing manner, sometimes even daily, in the content published by the Walla News website and sought to influence the appointment of senior employees. Now, Netanyahu says that's not bribery, that's just called public relations, right? I mean, we call up newspapers all the time and we tell them we don't like this reporter, we don't like that reporter. Barack Obama used to do it in the United States, Donald Trump does it in the United States. There really is no big issue of calling up newspapers and saying we don't like this or that. The question is whether he was in fact trading regulatory gifts in favor of that sort of positive media coverage. Okay, so those are the charges against Netanyahu. So where does this leave Israel? I'll explain in just one second what the various options are that are on the table, because it's complex, man. I mean, this is a decision tree that has a lot of branches. We'll get to that in just one second. First, let's talk about the fact that the left would like to completely rewrite the American bargain in favor of socialism. Bernie Sanders, an AOC self-described socialist. Elizabeth Warren is also a socialist, even though she doesn't want to fully admit it. You want to know how radical many of the Democrats' presidential hopefuls are? Well, good news. My friends over at FreedomWorks, they have answers to these questions. They've put together a socialist scorecard evaluating where these presidential candidates stand on the issues of the day. If you'd like to check it out, text Ben, that's my name, Ben, to 52886, and you'll receive exclusive access to FreedomWorks' socialist scorecard, which is pretty important for Thanksgiving dinner, guys. I mean, it's coming up. Evaluate these candidates yourself. Decide if they are indeed socialists. FreedomWorks has spent a lot of time analyzing the policies of those running against President Trump, and those policies are really bad. But if you don't know enough, if you're getting ready for Thanksgiving and that all-out brawl with Aunt May, if you'd like to view it too, please text Ben, my name Ben, to 52886 to receive exclusive access to FreedomWorks' socialist scorecard right now. Again, text my name Ben to 52886. That's Ben to 52886 and check out FreedomWorks. Okay, so what exactly are the options left to the Israeli public? So again, December 11th, new election gets called. And then you have a sitting prime minister under indictment and the head of the Likud party, which is the biggest party in Israel. And he is under indictment. The options are these. He goes to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court either upholds the law and he gets to sit as prime minister until he is removed by the electorate while under indictment, or they change the law sort of on the fly, which would be illegal, but they could do it, and they say that he has to step down. If they say he has to step down, then Netanyahu is tried. Whatever happens to him happens to him, and then somebody else in Likud takes over the leadership of Likud. The most likely outcome in all of this is that the Likud does not oust him. The polls start to look bad for Likud because the Israeli public don't like the idea of a prime minister under indictment. And then they are forced to a choice, which is, do we leave Netanyahu in power and thus lose a majority? And then you have a governing coalition of Avigdor Lieberman and Blue and White and Labor with the Arab party sitting outside and maintaining the power of the government from the outside. Or do you oust Netanyahu? So it is a mess over there for sure. It's a mess over there for sure. And we'll continue to bring you all of the updates as that progresses. Coming up. Aftermath of the Democratic debates. How many people watch? How many people care? This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. They've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad.
I was so glad that I called A Place for Mom. My advisor really listened and was truly my partner in finding senior care for my dad. She went out of her way to get to know him as a person and was always there whenever I had a question.
The senior living advisors at A Place for Mom partner with thousands of families every month, listening and offering local knowledge and advice to help find the best senior living communities across the country. And it's a free service. Here's the number.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-469-0286.
There's a place for answers. A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-469-0286. That's 1-800-469-0286.
If you have hard water, the limescale not only leaves white spots, it clogs pipes and breaks down appliances, costing you hundreds of dollars in energy and wear. Eliminate limescale and other water issues like brown staining, bad odors, and lead with HydroCare water products available from Wave Home Solutions. Wave's affordable systems don't use salts or chemicals. You'll love the way your water tastes, smells, and looks. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, go to WaveBestWater.com. That's WaveBestWater.com.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
Make a healthy choice about the air you breathe. Start with the Wave Smart Ventilation Unit to expel the polluted damp air from your basement and crawl space. Then add upstairs a hospital-grade 6-stage air purifier, which includes a HEPA filter and a powerful dual UV system. Stop worrying about mold, odors, radon, carbon monoxide, chemicals, and hundreds of other pollutants that are trapped in your home. Visit dryhome123.com and learn how to make your home healthier and fresher all year round. That's dryhome123.com.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, the Democrats had a big debate the other night. There is only one problem. No one cared. The Democratic debate did not go well for the Democrats. It was not a showpiece for any of them. It was funny. I was looking at the New York Times ratings of how the various candidates did. And while I thought that Pete Buttigieg actually did a fairly good job, they were less than enthused. And that is because the New York Times is more radical than Buttigieg. They don't want to see Buttigieg do very well. And so they were talking about how well Bernie Sanders did. And I thought to myself, well, Bernie Sanders was just Bernie Sanders. I'm confused as to why Bernie Sanders did exceedingly well. The answer is because The Democrats are basically now engaged in the same game Republicans were engaged in 2012. In 2012, Mitt Romney jumped into the race. He had run in 2008 also, right? He had run against John McCain. He was sort of seen as by many people, the conservative alternative to John McCain in 2008 because McCain was wishy-washy on issues like immigration, for example. Okay, so in 2012, Romney runs again. He's immediately the front runner. And the entire Republican Party basically goes, really? Mitt Romney? Like, Romney care guy? Are we sure about this? Governor from Massachusetts? Are we totally cool with this? And so they start searching for another candidate. And so you get people looking at Rick Perry. You get people looking at Herman Cain. You get people looking at literally everyone. Rick Santorum, Newt Gingrich, Michelle Bachmann. Like, everybody gets a chance at the top. For a brief moment in time, every single member of the Republican field gets a chance at the top, right? It is the revolving carousel of Republican politics in 2012. And finally, at the very end, everybody goes, okay, fine. All these people, it turns out, are flawed. Back to Romney. It feels a lot like that for the Democrats and Joe Biden right now. Joe Biden is old. He is not good at his job. He is a bad candidate. He says silly things on a routine basis. But he also happens to be the least nuts of these candidates and the person least likely to alienate vast swaths of voters. And so you're seeing Biden rising in the betting odds again, right? Just mid-October, Elizabeth Warren was a 50% odds-on favorite to be the Democratic nominee. She is all the way down to 26.5% in the betting odds, according to Real Clear Politics right now. Joe Biden maintains an 11-point national lead in the Democratic Party. And part of that is because Warren's mojo is gone. I mean, completely gone. She is collapsing in Iowa. She is collapsing in New Hampshire. That probably means she's collapsing in Nevada. And for all of Buttigieg's momentum in places like Iowa and New Hampshire, he has no national credibility because he has no ability to draw black votes. And when you get down south, where two-thirds of the Democratic electorate in primaries like South Carolina is black, he ain't got nothing. So who benefits from that? Obviously, Joe Biden, which is why Biden, despite the fact that he is barely alive at this point, I mean, the man's eye explodes on national television in the middle of a debate. Here is Joe Biden saying something that is true, which is, while the media may maintain that Elizabeth Warren is the front runner, she ain't. Biden says, listen, I'm the front runner still.
I am the clear front runner in the party. I'm ahead on the national average of all the polls by 7-8%. But it's a long way to go, And the other reason is that, look, whomever is the nominee, it's not going to be enough just to beat Donald Trump. You've got to be able to win in states like this. You've got to be able to be value added to make sure we pick up Senate seats and House seats. And so in every one of these polls in these states that I find myself in, I'm not counting on the polls, but the fact is that I'm ahead in every one of the toss-up states.
Okay, and he's correct about that with regard to the Democrats. He's not correct about that with regard to the Republicans. And this is the bad news for the Democrats. Right now, if you look at the swing states, Trump is pretty solid there. I'm looking at some polls of swing states right now, Trump versus the Democrats. There's one that came out just yesterday from Marquette University Law School in Wisconsin. And you would figure that Trump would be a little bit weak in Wisconsin, considering that Wisconsin has a pretty long progressive history. Right now, he's running ahead of every major Democrat. He's beating Joe Biden 47-44, according to that Marquette University Law School poll. He's beating Bernie Sanders 48-45. He's beating Elizabeth Warren 48-43 because she's an awful candidate. And he's beating Pete Buttigieg 47-39. Now, notice those numbers. Now, Trump is not above 50% in any of these cases. But the Democrat is certainly not above 50% and not even close to 50% in any of those cases. And that is before Trump gets through running them through the mill. Now, it is true that Donald Trump is never going to surpass 50% approval rating in this country. He's just not going to do that because he's not that kind of candidate. But Donald Trump is a specialist in taking his opponents and just grinding them into dust. It is what the man does best. He's an attack dog, and man, can he attack. Right? I've been saying for years that he's a hammer in search of a nail. And when he hits a nail, it is incredibly satisfying. In politics, that is a great skill, and Trump certainly has that skill. So if you think that Pete Buttigieg looks all shiny and unvarnished at this point, wait for President Trump to throw a few punches, and that reputation is going to collapse into dust very, very quickly. After all, Pete Buttigieg, who right now is the thing of the moment, his biggest election victory was he won 11,000 votes in a small town in Indiana. 11,000 votes. I've had speech crowds that are significantly larger than Pete Buttigieg's constituency in South Bend, Indiana. So there's that. Coming up, we'll talk about the Democratic moderates going after Elizabeth Warren and why that will be likely to bear fruit. Why Joe Biden remains the front runner. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Hear us streaming 24/7 at KCNR1460.com.
This is Carl Lindebaugh, owners of KCNR Radio.
We just want to say happy holidays from everyone at the KCNR family. With the giving season upon us, we wanted to thank you for living local. The Reading community means a lot to us.
So this season, as you're driving through town doing your holiday shopping, support the advertisers that support this station. Local shops are often overlooked, but that's where you'll find the most unique and touching gifts this Christmas.
Live local, listen local, love local. And from everyone here at KCNR,
Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays.
For many people, their faith, their family, and their health are the most important things in their life. Every day, the work that I do influences these things. Children go to college, couples move into their first home, people retire, businesses start, and charities are supported. All of this in part because of the work I do. I can make complicated things clearer so people understand them. I can solve problems and find solutions. People need someone to put their interests first. And for many people, I am that someone. I can lend an ear, stand with you during life's ups and downs, and provide that advice at just the right time. That's why I love my job. That's why I'm a financial advisor, Susan Eastman, with Wells Fargo Advisors in Redding, California, 243-7561. Once again, this is Susan Eastman with Wells Fargo Advisors. I'd love to be your financial advisor. Please give me a call at 243-7561.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Did you know that the City of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearms specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
While serving in Iraq, Sergeant Jason Nielsen suffered a paralyzing injury. Paralyzed Veterans of America's service officers are trained to help injured veterans get all the benefits they've earned. To help paralyzed veterans, visit pva.org.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Well, it is no wonder that Joe Biden is the front runner. Everybody else is incredibly weak. The Democratic moderates are attacking Elizabeth Warren and continuing to tear her down. So Cory Booker is smacking around Elizabeth Warren's policy proposals. I think at this point, if you had to handicap the field, you say that the most likely ticket looks something like Joe Biden, Cory Booker. Here's Cory Booker going after Elizabeth Warren's wealth tax. Nobody knows why he's still in this race other than to play attack dog against people like Elizabeth Warren. Here is Booker going after Warren.
It is hard to evaluate. Other nations have tried this. You literally have to assess every single year somebody's wealth, from the paintings on their wall to the value of their farm. People will be fighting that in court. It would take years to figure out, and they want to do this every single year. There are better ways to do this, to get revenue. My plan is much, much better. Love Elizabeth. Love the intention behind it. But we can find a way to do fair, just taxation.
Okay, so this is obviously, again, another attack by the moderates against Elizabeth Warren. I don't think that Elizabeth Warren is going to last in all of this. Meanwhile, the American people just are not interested. The MSNBC Democratic debate ratings were horrible. Horrible. According to Nielsen numbers, Mediaite reporting, more than 6.5 million viewers tuned in to watch the November 20th debate in Atlanta, including 1.6 million in the advertiser-coveted 25 to 54 demo, which is a lot of viewers, but that is a huge downturn from the 8.5 million viewers CNN earned from the October 15th debate, with 2.4 million from the target 25 to 54 demo. By the way, 6.5 million viewers for a debate is a very bad number, a very bad number. How do you know it's a bad number? Because during the 2016 debates, the first debate with Donald Trump in 2015 had 24 million viewers. Four times as many people watched that debate as watched this debate. Why? Because nobody likes these candidates and they're incredibly, incredibly boring. Mediaite tries to blame that on MSNBC's coverage of impeachment, but really that should jack up the ratings, not jack them down, right? I mean, when you're trying to impeach the sitting president of the United States and then you have a Democratic primary debate, shouldn't the excitement be super high? Well, the problem is that this debate was incredibly boring. The other problem is that the moderators suck. So Andrew Yang just blasted my boy Andrew Yang. I mean, listen, if you don't appreciate just Andrew Yang as a human being, you don't have to agree with any of his policies, right? You don't have to think that universal basic income is a good idea, but Andrew Yang is a nice and decent human being. I've sat with Andrew Yang. I've met Andrew Yang. This is a person who is trying to be reasonable in a way that I disagree with, but trying to be reasonable. And so Andrew Yang being shut out of these debates, despite the fact that he has literally come from politically nowhere in order to be in these debates in the first place, the man has a little bit of credibility. He says MSNBC moderators are just terrible. He slams them on CNN, and CNN, of course, laps it up.
You know, Wolf, all I can say is I miss CNN moderating these debates. No, I mean, they saw it last night, too. I mean, America saw it. I went 32 minutes without a question, and I was raising my hands trying to get a word in edgewise during that time. So when you all moderated the debate, it was straight up the middle. It was professional. We got real substantive topics.
Okay, this is absolutely true. And good for Yang for saying something true. And what he's saying there is 100% true. Meanwhile, the DNC is releasing its fundraising numbers for October, and they stink again. The DNC reported less than $8.7 million cash on hand, over $7 million in debt, in an FEC report released on Wednesday. These numbers are bad. They are ugly numbers. Those poor fundraising numbers come less than a year out from the 2020 presidential election. The RNC is blowing it out. The RNC raised nearly three times as much money as the DNC last month, pulling in over $25 million in October, reporting over $60 million cash on hand. Additionally, the joint fundraising effort between the Trump campaign and the RNC had raised over $300 million in 2019 so far and reported $156 million cash on hand last month, according to the Daily Caller. Tom Perez is coming under fire for his crap fundraising job. And, of course, they're having a tough time fundraising. Number one, they don't have a nominee. Number two, none of the people who they're talking about are particularly exciting. And when I say they're not particularly exciting, I mean they are particularly non-exciting. Okay, and the new faces are getting slammed. The New York Times, which is more woke than the general base of the Democratic Party. You know, it is fascinating. I was examining some poll numbers yesterday with regard to how members of each party see the members of the other party. And one of the things that you see is that the parties have a very different view of their opponents than are reflected by reality. So in other words, Republicans tend to think that people who vote Democrat are much more to the left than they are. And Democrats tend to think that people who are Republican are much more extreme than they are. And part of this is driven by media coverage, and part of this is driven by the fact that social media rules the roost. Part of this is driven by the fact that the presidential candidates on the Democratic side of the aisle are more responsible to Twitter than they are to their own actual constituents, which is why you are seeing the durability of Joe Biden. It's why you are seeing Pete Buttigieg surge when he pretends to be a moderate. Like, there's a study this year. It was from an organization called More in Common. 55% of Republicans and Democrats believed the majority of the opposing party believed extreme views. In reality, that number was actually 30%. So, for example, Democrats believed only half of Republicans would acknowledge that racism still exists in America. In reality, 80% of Republicans acknowledge that racism still exists in America. Conversely, Republicans believe that only about half of Democrats were proud to be American. The actual number was about 80%. In other words, most Democrats are not actually in alignment with Democrats who are running for president. They are not, which leaves a lot of room to run for President Trump. And the media who are pushing the Democrats further to the left are doing the Democrats no favors. In fact, they're hurting them. But that's not going to stop the New York Times from attacking the ersatz moderate Pete Buttigieg. There's a big attack article in the New York Times today by Reed Epstein against Pete Buttigieg. It's called "Pete Buttigieg is Struggling with Black Democrats. Here's Why." He says former Vice President Joe Biden has 154 endorsements from current or former black or Hispanic elected officials. Kamala Harris has 93, which has benefited her not at all. Bernie Sanders has 91. Cory Booker has 50. Elizabeth Warren has 43. Pete Buttigieg has 6. According to the New York Times, Buttigieg has failed to demonstrate even minimal support among African Americans and Hispanics, critical voting blocks that will have a much larger say after Iowa and New Hampshire and their nearly all white electorates begin the presidential nominating calendar. And watch as the media starts to portray the Democratic nominating calendar as itself inherently racist, because it starts off with some heavily white states. On Wednesday night, debate moderators questioned Buttigieg's record on racial issues, while rivals including Cory Booker and Kamala Harris suggested he needed on-the-job training in talking to black audiences. And obviously, there's some truth to this. Van Jones said the same thing on CNN. Pete Buttigieg's pitch to black audiences was, "I'm gay, so I've been victimized too, just like you," which obviously is not true. Again, Pete Buttigieg has really not experienced significant political discrimination against him. He's the mayor of South Bend, Indiana. When he came out of the closet, I believe he was 30 at the time, when he came out of the closet, Mike Pence was asked about it, and he was basically like, "Enjoy." And so this idea that he has experienced anything like the discrimination that a John Lewis experienced in the United States is just absurd. According to the New York Times, Buttigieg's weakness with voters of color limits his potential in the 2020 campaign. A donor class favorite who draws capacity crowds across Iowa, Buttigieg counts as his highest profile black supporter either the man who lost a 2018 election to be Florida's attorney general or the former mayor of Kansas City, Missouri. No Democrat in modern times has won the party's nomination without claiming majorities of black voters, the most crucial voting bloc in South Carolina, and in an array of delegate-rich southern states. Buttigieg's supporters say black voters and politicians haven't gotten to know him. They say that once they do, his fortunes will improve. That is very likely untrue. That is very likely untrue. So again, this field is floundering. Not only is it floundering, the Democrats in the media are pushing them to the left, and the Democratic base does not even agree with those principles, which is why, again, Joe Biden remains your likeliest nominee. In a second, we're going to give you all the updates on Impeachment Gate 2019. But first, let's talk about problems with communication in a marriage. I mean, the fact is that there are some things that it's tough to talk with even your spouse about. One of those things is sex. Well, if you've got a problem with erectile dysfunction, you should just go get it fixed. This isn't something to be shy about. You should go talk to a doctor and get everything straightened out. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. The doctor will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, Roman will ship it to you with free two-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward, simple, and discreet. Getting started is simple, too. Just go to GetRoman.com/Shapiro and complete an online visit. Erectile dysfunction used to be tough to tackle. Now there is Roman. Complete an online visit today. Connect with the doctor. Get it taken care of. Just go to GetRoman.com/Shapiro to get a free online visit and free two-day shipping. That's GetRoman.com/Shapiro for a free visit to get started. GetRoman.com/Shapiro. Go check them out right now. Again, no reason to suffer with a medical problem when you get it fixed. GetRoman.com/Shapiro. That's GetRoman.com/Shapiro. Okay, so, meanwhile, in Impeachment Gate, Adam Schiff is self-righteously declaring that Republicans must fulfill their duty despite the fact that Democrats have not yet actually proved the case for impeachment. Again, the initial investigation was based on the idea that Donald Trump specifically militarized American foreign aid in order to get Joe Biden. Right? That's what this whole thing was about. Let's not forget the original accusation. It was a quid pro quo, but it was not just a quid pro quo. It was a quid pro quo for something totally illegitimate. He wanted Ukraine to make up information about Joe Biden or launch a false investigation into Joe Biden or an investigation based on false pretenses in order to help Trump in the 2020 election. It wasn't about 2016. It wasn't about Trump being vindictive. It wasn't about Trump wanting to investigate Ukrainian interference in the 2016 elections. It was purely and solely a get Biden effort. And if you want to know what the allegation was, just go back and listen to that ridiculous phony transcript that Adam Schiff parodied. Remember that Adam Schiff did this parody. I'm not going to say, like so many have said, that he was being literal. He was not. He was parodying the transcript. But he was sort of summing up his perception of the memo, the call memo from July 25th, in which he said, I want you to go get Joe Biden. Go get Joe Biden and bring me his head on a platter and all of this. Okay, that was the original accusation. Democrats have not proved that. What Democrats have shown is that Trump withheld aid and that he did so in order to receive investigations. Right? But guess what? That was pretty obvious from the July 25th phone call, right? That he was either withholding an actual meeting or withholding aid for that purpose. Now, I'm not going to go along with the Republican talking point that Trump was never withholding aid in exchange for anything. Like, I don't think that that's a credible talking point. I just don't. I think that when Gordon Sondland says, I perceived a quid pro quo, and then everybody was like, yeah, but nobody told you straight out it's a quid pro quo. And he's like, right, but I was talking to Rudy Giuliani, and Trump was saying, go talk to Giuliani, and Giuliani was saying, do X, and Trump was withholding the aid. That looks a lot like a quid pro quo. Like, that makes some sense. It does. But that does not answer the question as to whether the quid pro quo was completely illegitimate. Quid pro quos do happen in American foreign policy all the time. We are constantly conditioning American aid. We are constantly doing that. Nonetheless, you have Adam Schiff self-righteously declaring that Republicans must do their duty and impeach the president. At the same time, Democrats refuse to hear testimony from Hunter Biden. Remember, this whole investigation was launched on the back of the allegation that asking Ukraine to investigate Hunter Biden was completely illegitimate. Well, I mean, come on. I'm sorry. I can't buy that. There's a news story out today from the Washington Examiner. Quote, an investment firm linked to Hunter Biden received over $130 million in federal bailout loans while his father, Joe Biden, was vice president and routed profits through a subsidiary in the Cayman Islands, according to federal banking and corporate records reviewed by the Washington Examiner. Financial experts said the offshore corporate structure could have been used to shield earnings from U.S. taxes. Rosemont Capital, an investment firm at the center of Hunter Biden's much-scrutinized financial network, was one of the companies approved to participate in the 2009 federal loan program known as the Term Asset-Backed Securities Loan Facility, or TALF, which is to be distinguished from the long-running and wonderful TV show ALF. Under the program, the U.S. Treasury Department and the Federal Reserve Bank issued billions of dollars in highly favorable loans to select investors who agreed to buy bonds that banks were struggling to offload, including bundled college and auto loans. Apparently, 177 firms participated in TALF, many of them well-connected in Washington or on Wall Street. Hunter Biden, who is just a sleaze bucket. I mean, the guy recently had to take a paternity test in Arkansas, and Joe Biden discovered he had a grandkid he didn't know he had. I mean, Hunter Biden is just gross. He's had a very checkered history. And the fact that he has become extraordinarily wealthy off the back of his daddy's name and was doing so in Ukraine, does that go to Ukrainian corruption? Yeah, a little bit. Roger L. Simon reports today, it's obvious that Joe Biden cannot be impeached were he to win that exalted office, but the case for his immediate impeachment would dwarf Donald Trump's if we are to believe Interfax Ukraine. There's a report out today, some $16.5 million received by Hunter Biden, the son of former U.S. Vice President Joe Biden, as payment from Burisma, was stolen from Ukrainian citizens, according to a member of parliament named Andrei Derkach. Derkach said at a press conference at the Kiev-based Interfax Ukraine news agency that on November 14th, the prosecutor general's office announced a new suspicion to the owner of Burisma, former ecology minister Mykola Zlochevsky. So Interfax has some questions about it. It's originally a Russian news company, so we should say that. It was established, Roger Simon writes this, it was established during Perestroika, generally took a liberal line against conservatives who wished to preserve the old USSR, but they're probably infiltrated by intelligence agencies, and so we have to view their reporting with some skepticism. But that report obviously doesn't look great. It doesn't look great for Hunter Biden. Again, are there questions that are open about Hunter Biden and Ukraine? Yeah, absolutely. So when Schiff says fulfill your duty and then he won't let Hunter Biden testify, and we're not allowed to hear about how these complaints were elevated to the level of whistleblower complaint in the first place, the whole thing does kind of stink, does it not? Now, again, that does not mean that there can't be legitimate questions asked about Trump's behavior here, questions that really go more to his qualifications for the presidency and his character and temperament than they do to impeachable offenses. And you can still ask questions about, did he intend to go get Joe Biden circa 2020? But the Democrats certainly have not proved that case. So the self-righteousness on display from Adam Schiff, who, again, had a pup tent set up outside the green room at CNN for 2 years to talk about why Trump was about to go down for Russian investigations and interference, right? That guy is out there saying that we should really trust him when it comes to his evaluation of the evidence.
Where are the people who are willing to go beyond their party to look to their duty? I was struck by Colonel Vindsman's testimony because he said that he acted out of duty. What is our duty here? That's what we need to be asking, not using metaphors about balls and strikes or our team and your team. I've heard my colleagues use those metaphors. This should be about duty. What is our duty?
Oh, come on. I'm sorry. I'm not going to be lectured by Adam Schiff on duty. Like, really? The man, I think it's fairly obvious that he is lying when he says he does not know who the whistleblower is. I think that is fairly obvious. I think that it is fairly obvious that this man is politically driven. That's pretty clear. Coming up, the Democratic impeachment effort moves forward, but is it going to be successful? Probably not. I will explain why. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
If you are behind on your bills, then this message is for you. How would you like to have a large portion of your credit card debt or medical bills forgiven? National Credit Card Relief would like to give you free information on a proven debt forgiveness program. It's not bankruptcy. It's not consolidation. This special program actually wipes clean the portion of your debt that is forgiven. Call for your free forgiveness information now. 800-291-6670. That's 800-291-6670. Don't wait. Call 800-291-6670. Not available in North Dakota.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen London with The Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. It's a free service, and we've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad. There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-391-1755. That's 1-800-391-1755.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems. Listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
Make a healthy choice about the air you breathe. Start with the Wave Smart Ventilation Unit to expel the polluted damp air from your basement and crawl space. Then add upstairs a hospital-grade 6-stage air purifier which includes a HEPA filter and a powerful dual UV system. Stop worrying about mold, odors, radon, carbon monoxide, chemicals, and hundreds of other pollutants that are trapped in your home. Visit dryhome123.com and learn how to make your home healthier and fresher all year round. That's dryhome123.com. If you have hard water, the limescale not only leaves white spots, it clogs pipes and breaks down appliances, costing you hundreds of dollars in energy and wear. Eliminate limescale and other water issues like brown staining, bad odors, and lead with HydroCare water products available from Wave Home Solutions. Wave's affordable systems don't use salts or chemicals. You'll love the way your water tastes, smells, and looks. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, go to WaveBestWater.com. That's WaveBestWater.com.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, the Democratic efforts toward impeachment they seem to be fizzling a little bit. I mean, you look at the polls, and there just is not momentum. The Democrats, the media, they keep trying to pump up these witnesses as though the witnesses are saying anything new. In fact, the stuff that the witnesses are saying that are new, very often, are not actually true. So, for example, Fiona Hill, she's a deputy to John Bolton. And John Bolton has tweeted out this morning that he's been off Twitter for 2 months, but that he'll have much more coming. So is that a threat? Who the hell knows, right? John Bolton is one of the people who actually would know something. As I've said from the beginning, unless you talk to President Trump, you don't know nada. That's why Gordon Sondland's testimony mattered. But it turns out that that was a bit of a dud for Democrats in terms of a window into Donald Trump's brain. Instead, Sondland basically underscored what all the other witnesses suggested about there being a quid pro quo. But he did not state, and actually would not state, despite repeated prompting from Democrats, that the quid pro quo was itself illegitimate. In fact, he said that he didn't believe that the quid pro quo was illegitimate. In any case, Fiona Hill is a John Bolton deputy. She was obviously very skeptical of the holdup in American aid to Ukraine. Even Fiona Hill said, I can't blame Trump for feeling aggrieved over the 2016 election, which is probably what prompted him to be upset about Ukraine in the first place.
Many officials from many countries, including Ukraine, bet on the wrong horse. They believed that Secretary Clinton, former Senator Clinton, former First Lady Clinton was going to win. And many said some pretty disparaging and hurtful things about President Trump. And I can't blame him for feeling aggrieved about them.
Okay, well, the fact is, that is probably what led Trump to do all of this. Because that's who Trump is, right? This is a man there's a guy, I think he was writing for Vanity Fair magazine back in the 1990s and wrote about Donald Trump's small hands, called them like freakishly small. Since then, since like 1991, Donald Trump has been sending this man pictures of his hands signed by Trump for like 25 years. For 25 years. That's what you're talking about. Not the guy who's looking forward to 2020. The guy who sends pictures of his hands in the mail to people who disparaged his hand size 20 years ago. That's what this whole Ukraine thing is about. And everybody who has a shred of intellectual honesty basically knows that is the case. Okay, everybody knows that's the case. Now, does that mean it's illegitimate? No. It means that Trump is thin-skinned and vindictive about stuff that's happened in the past. That's why he's constantly fulminating about never-Trumpers who are not actually a political force in American life. Right? But does that mean that there isn't an actual American interest in investigating 2016? No. Of course there's an interest in investigating 2016. We just spent 2 years doing it on the Mueller report side. And that's why when Fiona Hill says stuff like, well, it's a fantasy that Ukraine meddled in 2016, I got some questions. Here's Fiona Hill saying that. I mean, despite the charming accent, what she's about to say is actually not particularly true.
Based on questions and statements I've heard, some of you on this committee appear to believe that Russia and its security services did not conduct a campaign against our country, and that perhaps, somehow, for some reason, Ukraine did. This is a fictional narrative that has been perpetrated and propagated by the Russian security services themselves. The unfortunate truth is that Russia was the foreign power that systematically attacked our democratic institutions in 2016.
Okay, so it is true that Russia was the country that attacked our system in 2016. It is also true that there's fairly serious evidence of Ukrainian 2016 meddling. Our friend Andy McCarthy from National Review, he has an entire column in the New York Post about this. He says, in her testimony before the House impeachment inquiry, Fiona Hill, formerly of the National Security Council, took great pride in telling lawmakers she was a nonpartisan intelligence professional. She then labored mightily in service of a democratic political narrative. Specifically, Hill conflated two separate theories of Ukrainian collusion in the 2016 election. One of these is discredited. The other is quite viable. Hill helped the Democrats suggest they've both been debunked. To be sure, President Trump is largely to blame for propagating the discredited Ukraine theory it holds that somehow it was Ukraine, not Russia, that interfered in the 2016 election by cyber espionage against Democratic email accounts. This is such a loopy theory, it defies clear explanation. Suffice it to say it involves suspicions that a hacked DNC server is hidden in Ukraine. Perhaps the speculation runs it was Ukrainian operatives, not Russian ones, who were the culprits. This is a fringe theory. Nobody puts a lot of stock in it.
We all had friends and family that were affected by the car fire. Most of the cleanup is done now, and a lot of families are looking at rebuilding. If you relied on a well for your water system, it's important to assess the condition of your well and its capabilities to be able to meet the demands of new construction codes. I'm Ted Ogilvy with Diamond Core Drilling. We've been providing water well systems and pumps in Northern California since 1980. Let us help you with your rebuilding process. That's Diamond Core Drilling, 275-8162.
When you're looking to add a pet to your family, Haven Humane Society is a place to start. Hi, this is Mark from Haven to tell you that shelter pets make the best pets. With kittens, puppies, dogs, cats, bunnies, guinea pigs, hamsters, snakes, birds, and more, Haven has a pet that is the right fit for your family. We also provide education, training, spaying and neutering, dog licensing, and so much more. If you're looking for a way to help, our amazing volunteers have fun with the animals while helping us to save lives. For more information, call 241-1653 or visit havenhumane.org. Like us on Facebook and follow our progress as we work towards a day with no more homeless pets in the North State.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Gordon Griffith. President Donald Trump says he does not expect to be impeached by members of the House.
After days of public testimony by witnesses who said the president pressed Ukraine to investigate the 2016 election and the Bidens, the president claims Democrats have absolutely nothing incriminating. He called into Fox and Friends, telling the hosts he does not expect to be impeached. Mr. Trump says it's very hard to impeach you when they have absolutely nothing. If he is impeached, the president says he would welcome a Senate trial. Greg Clugston, The White House.
Former National Security Advisor John Bolton says he's regained control of his personal Twitter account, asserting that the White House refused to provide access to it after he resigned, a charge that President Trump rejected. Bolton is urging Twitter followers to stay tuned. The Food and Drug Administration has a warning tonight about romaine lettuce grown in Salinas, California. Don't eat it.
If you can't tell where the lettuce comes from, the FDA says don't buy it. An E. coli outbreak made at least 40 people sick in more than a dozen states, and investigators are looking for the contamination source at farms in Salinas. The warning comes almost exactly 1 year after a similar E. coli outbreak led to a blanket warning about tainted romaine. It's not clear exactly why romaine keeps making people sick. Food safety experts say it's difficult to eliminate risks for produce grown in open fields and eaten raw. Supermarkets and restaurants are being told not to serve or sell lettuce from Salinas. Ed Donahue, Washington.
A plane bound from Boston to Los Angeles has made an emergency landing in Syracuse, New York, after reporting a possible engine problem. The Federal Aviation Administration says in a statement that Delta Flight 2531 landed safely around 7:30 p.m. Friday at Syracuse Hancock International Airport after declaring an emergency. More on these stories at townhall.com.
I'm Andy Solomon. When the proposed T-Mobile and Sprint merger is complete, the new T-Mobile will deliver three initiatives that will use its nationwide 5G network to bring connectivity to millions. T-Mobile's Chief Marketing Officer, Matt Steneff.
Through our Connecting Heroes initiative, we'll give every first responder in every public and nonprofit state and local first responder agency across the country free 5G access with the highest priority of any plan on our network. Project 10 Million aims to eradicate the homework gap for students without internet access. Through an unprecedented $10 billion commitment, the new T-Mobile will give free service, hotspots, and reduced-cost devices to 10 million households over 5 years. Our new T-Mobile Connect plan is just $15 a month, half off T-Mobile's lowest-cost plan. Consumers on a budget will get unlimited talk, text, and 2 gigabytes of high-speed smartphone data, plus annual automatic data upgrades.
For more, visit newtmobile.com.
WeWork is slashing nearly 20% of its workforce, embarking on a painful restructuring of its money-losing operation that doomed its stock market debut and left the office-sharing company on the brink of bankruptcy.
WeWork says it's laid off 2,400 of its approximately 12,500 employees to create a more efficient organization. The company says the job cuts began weeks ago in regions around the world and continued this week in the U.S. The New York-based company is scaling back the explosive growth that put its sleekly designed shared office spaces in 122 cities around the world while racking up massive losses that ultimately put off Wall Street investors and doomed its IPO.
That's correspondent Jeremy House reporting. In an email to employees earlier this week, the executive chairman, Marcelo Clara, said that jobs would be eliminated in areas that do not directly support our core business goals. News and analysis at townhall.com. Elon Musk is taking on the workhorse heavy pickup truck market with his latest electric vehicle.
Tesla's Cybertruck was unveiled at the Los Angeles Auto Show Thursday night. The electric pickup will be in production in 2021 with a base price of $39,000. With the launch, Tesla's edging into the most profitable corner of the U.S. auto market, where buyers tend to have fierce brand loyalty. But it faces formidable competition from Ford and their plans to launch an all-electric F-150 pickup, and General Motors' battery electric pickup is due to come out by the fall of 2021. Rhonda Rockster reporting.
The unveiling of the truck went awry today, though, when supposedly unbreakable window glass on the truck splintered twice when hit with a large metal ball. Musk joked about the stunt, saying that at least the ball didn't go through. Well, investors apparently didn't like the stunts or the truck's futuristic design. More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Gordon Griffin.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Got a lot coming up for you this hour. A little bit later on in the hour, we'll do some mailbagging because we have been remiss in answering your questions this week. So send in your questions right now. Also, we'll talk a little bit of Bible, and we'll get to President Trump threatening to veto a very good anti-China bill, which is a bit puzzling. We'll get to that in a second. But first, this is a shocking story. Okay, this is from CNN. Apparently, former FBI lawyer is now under investigation after allegedly altering documents in 2016 Russia probe. Oh, look at that. So President Trump has long claimed that there was bias against him in the intelligence community in 2016, approaching the election and beyond, and that this bias against him affected his presidency, affected his campaign. He's long complained that there's a deep state effort to get him, meaning career appointees at these places were disliked him, won him out. And he had some evidence to back that. Peter Strzok, who was leading up the Hillary Clinton investigation and the Trump-Russia investigation, was actively texting his lover, both of them were married, his lover, Lisa Page, about how they were going to have an insurance policy against Trump and Trump would never be elected. Well, now CNN is reporting that a former FBI lawyer is under criminal investigation after allegedly altering a document related to 2016 surveillance of a Trump campaign advisor. Several people briefed on the matter told CNN. The possibility of a substantive charge to an substantive change to an investigative document is likely to fuel accusations from Trump and his allies that the FBI committed wrongdoing in its investigation of connections between Russian election meddling and the Trump campaign. Now, my theory has long been that even if the Trump-Russia investigation was initiated in good faith, that it quickly took on the characteristics of career officers who wish to go beyond the letter of the law in order to get Trump. Okay, after CNN first reported on the investigation, the Washington Post reported that the inspector general concluded the alteration did not change the validity of the surveillance application itself. The finding is expected to be part of Justice Department Inspector General Michael Horowitz's review of the FBI's efforts to obtain warrants under the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act on Carter Page, a former Trump campaign aide. Horowitz will release the report next month. Now, this report is expected by many to be a bombshell. It's about the origins of the Trump-Russia campaign, the extent of bias inside the intelligence community going after Russia in the Trump-Russia campaign. Trump has always said that this was a witch hunt, politically motivated witch hunt. Now, it's not super surprising that the inspector general would find that alterations to the underlying documents in the Carter Page FISA warrant didn't change the outcome. That's because if you start checking into what would change the outcome of a FISA warrant, that is a can of worms. There are so many FISA warrants. I mean, that is a can of worms. It will be very difficult to put a lid back on. But having people falsify documents or change documents in order to get a FISA warrant, that obviously is evidence of significant bias inside the intel community. We've already had a bunch of people inside the intel community who've been blamed by the inspector general, including Andrew McCabe. James Comey came in for some serious criticism. You know, the top levels of the intelligence community, first of all, the everyday FBI agents who are working there, the everyday CIA agents who are working there. A lot of these people are incredible, incredible people who are protecting the country. And then there are some politically motivated people who actively are shaping investigations, and that is dangerous. With great authority comes great danger. Horowitz turned over evidence on the allegedly altered document to John Durham, the federal prosecutor appointed early this year by A.G. William Barr to conduct a broad investigation of intelligence gathered for the Russia probe by the CIA and other agencies, including the FBI. The altered document is also at least one focus of Durham's criminal probe. It's unknown how significant a role the altered document played in the FBI investigation of Page, according to CNN. The alterations were significant enough to have shifted the document's meaning. They came up during a part of Horowitz's FISA review where details were classified according to the sources. According to the Washington Post, it didn't change Horowitz's finding that the FISA application had a legal basis. Okay, so one of the big questions, particularly with regards to the Carter Page FISA warrant, for those who have been following this stuff closely, is that the Carter Page FISA warrant did use a lot of material from the so-called Steele dossier. I mean, this is a very confusing story. The Steele dossier was compiled by a firm called Fusion GPS at the behest of Hillary Clinton's campaign. A lot of the information in it was just crap. A lot of it was Russian misinformation fed to Christopher Steele, a former MI6 agent, who then compiled all of this in this basic report on just junk. And stuff like Trump being peed on by Russian prostitutes because he was staying in Barack Obama's room in Moscow or some such nonsense. There's a lot of bad information in that report, the Steele report, the dossier. That was funneled by Fusion GPS to the Barack Obama administration, to the FBI, who initiated the FISA gate warrant on the basis of the FISA application on the basis of the Steele dossier. Now, there have been a lot of people who have suggested that the Steele dossier was actually the origin of the Trump-Russia investigation. If so, that would be deeply troubling because the idea of Hillary Clinton's campaign digging up dirt on Donald Trump, handing it to the FBI, and then the FBI initiating an investigation based on political oppo research that is unverified is deeply frightening. I mean, that's a serious problem. But the FBI has maintained that this was initiated not on the basis of the Steele dossier, but on the basis of the FBI's independent suspicions of George Papadopoulos, who is working as a low-level Trump foreign policy aide and having conversations with people who are suspected of being Russian cutouts. Now, the Trump team has suggested that the person suspected of being a Russian cutout was actually working for the CIA, which, of course, would be a massive scandal if it turned out that the Obama administration was planting people to feed bad information to George Papadopoulos and then initiating the Trump-Russia investigation on that basis. Now, we still have to wait to hear whether that supposed Russian cutout, Joseph Mifsud, was a Russian cutout or a CIA agent. We don't know. Or a CIA guy. Now, again, the best evidence seems to suggest Russian cutout, but unclear at this point. So all of this is going to come out in the next month, and it's going to basically blow a hole in a lot of the Democratic contentions about Trump-Russia. It's likely to blow a hole in the Democratic contentions that their investigations are on the up and up. According to CNN, some witnesses who have been interviewed in Horowitz's investigation have said they expect the inspector general to find mistakes in the FBI's handling of the FISA process, but that those mistakes do not undermine the premise of the FBI's investigation. Well, that would be much in line with what I have suggested, which is that the investigation was originally pursued under true auspices, but then it quickly morphed out of control because you had people like Peter Strzok and Lisa Page running the show. According to CNN, American intelligence agencies and the DOJ have not swayed from their finding that Russia interfered in the 2016 election. Horowitz's investigators have conducted more than 100 witness interviews in their review. During one of the interviews this year, they confronted the witness about this particular document. The witness admitted to the change. The lawyer, a line attorney, is no longer working at the Bureau. A line attorney is a lower-level lawyer within the FBI. The report is expected for at least December 9th. He's expected, Horowitz is, to testify before the Senate Judiciary Committee 2 days later. Already, there have been several reports that have criticized top members of the FBI. Those IG reports have ripped into James Comey and his handling of the Hillary Clinton investigation and his handling of personal memos about meetings with the president. They've investigated Peter Strzok. Another finding of alleged wrongdoing from Horowitz could further fuel Republican criticism and conspiracies about previous investigators targeting of Trump associates, and it could provide them a political boost, which, by the way, it should, because if it looks like the deep state was indeed going after Trump and that there is this coterie of career officials inside America's intel community shifting the power of the intelligence community against a candidate, that's pretty dangerous stuff. By the way, a lot more, if the Obama administration was militarizing its own FBI to go after Trump, that is a lot more dangerous than Donald Trump suggesting to the Ukrainians that they investigate corrupt activity with Hunter Biden. I mean, that is not a close call, by the way. The Justice Department has been tight-lipped on outlining exactly what John Durham has been looking at. The attorney general himself said soon after appointing him, he was concerned officials acted inappropriately as they saw the counterintelligence probe of the 2016 Trump campaign. And obviously the Democrats and the media have been suggesting this is all a ruse, Barr is a political hack. That's the only reason why we're even looking at this. Well, if they come up with actual wrongdoing, it ain't political hackery anymore. It's just reality. We'll get to more of this in just one moment. Fusion GPS's founders are now attacking Trump in the pages of the New York Times. Those were the people who gathered the Steele dossier in the first place. We'll get to that momentarily. First, let's talk about the earphones you're currently using. Are you using the ones that have the wires? You are, aren't you? I know you are. Don't lie to me. And then you take them out of your phone, and you take them out of your old 1982 Walkman, and you wrap them up, you put them in your pocket, and then it takes you 35 minutes to unravel them every single time. Why don't you get some wireless earphones? I mean, it's the 21st century. Why don't you do that? And don't tell me expense, because if you are worried about saving money, let me tell you, get Raycon H100s. They deliver great audio across all genres, top sound quality on every high, low, and bass-heavy note. They're also noise-canceling, so they are perfect when you need to focus, have an important phone call, or you just need to tune out a baby screaming in your ear while you're on the phone, which happens to me like every single day. The battery life on the headphones, terrific. You get 20 hours of playtime or talk time off a single charge, 30 hours if you're just using them for noise-canceling. They're fully charged in just 2.5 hours. And for those of you who always forget to charge until you need to, you can charge them in just 15 minutes, and they will give you an hour and a half of use on just 15 minutes of charge. The Raycon H100s pair easily with Bluetooth, and right now you can get 15% off your purchase when you go to buyraycon.com/Ben. Again, that is buyraycon.com/Ben for 15% off your Raycon purchase, buyraycon.com/Ben for 15% off. And meanwhile, Fusion GPS, trying to defend itself from accusations that they came up with a crappy Steele dossier and that this provided the impetus for all of the investigations. They have a piece in the New York Times today called Double-Barreled Dream World of Trump and His Enablers. They wanted to take down Biden, but they also wanted to absolve Moscow of election meddling, according to Glenn Simpson and Peter Frisch, who obviously are not politically driven in any way. They only helped compile the crap Steele dossier that was used in order to go after people like Carter Page. According to Simpson and Frisch in the New York Times, the Ukraine scandal now unfolding in congressional impeachment hearings has at its core a Shakespearean twist. President Trump, abetted by his paladins of spin, has trapped himself in an alternative universe. To undermine the well-established fact that Russia corrupted the 2016 vote to help him win, Trump and his allies have tried to build a fiction that pins those crimes on Ukraine. In doing so, he has confirmed our darkest fears. The president's bid to solicit foreign help to impugn a domestic political rival in 2019 should wipe away any doubts about his willingness to do the same with Russian help in 2016. Okay, well, the question wasn't willingness to accept Russian help. The question was, again, quid pro quo relationships with the Russians and actual illegal activity. And we've known since the June 2016 Trump Tower meeting came out and the emails from Donald Trump Jr. to a Russian-connected lawyer that they were willing to hear people out. We know that Donald Trump was taking phone calls from Roger Stone, and Roger Stone was telling him about stuff that was going to leak from WikiLeaks. So I'm not sure that that was ever really in doubt. Trump and his enablers, according to Simpson and Frisch, have scrambled all year to do two deeds at once. They want to besmirch Joe Biden without foundation for supposedly using his office as VP to protect his son Hunter, who served until recently on the board of a Ukrainian gas company, and they want to reinvent what happened in 2016 so as to switch the blame for the election meddling from Moscow to Kiev. Congress is rightly focused on the quid pro quo demands that Trump was making of the Ukrainian president to further his own political personal interests, but the effort to rewrite the history of 2016 is no less insidious. Okay, again, this is ignoring a pretty crucial fact, which is that the Ukrainian embassy was, in fact, funneling information via Alexander Chalupa to the DNC about Paul Manafort in order to get the Trump campaign. I mean, that was the thing that was happening. As we talked about last hour, you know, Andy McCarthy has written about this. The Democrats are playing this Jedi mind trick where when you say election interference by Ukraine, what they want you to hear is CrowdStrike. But that's the false story. The true story is that Ukraine was, in fact, interfering in our election. I mean, Politico reported that. But Simpson and Frisch write, as the founders of Fusion GPS, the research firm that commissioned the reports by the former British intelligence officer Christopher Steele that raised some of the earliest warnings of Russia's actions, were willing to clear up some of the nonsense now so ripe on the right. So a couple of things. First of all, I don't think that that is actually something you ought to be touting. If you are Fusion GPS, you probably shouldn't tout a report that's been nearly entirely debunked, or at least in large part debunked. The Mueller report did not rely on the Steele dossier at all, at all. It doesn't even cite it. But Simpson and Frisch say, House Republicans like Representatives Devin Nunes and Jim Jordan seem eager to portray Fusion as co-conspirators with Ukrainians in some devilish plot to undermine Trump's 2016 candidacy. That could not be further from the truth. None of the information in the so-called Steele dossier came from Ukrainian sources. Zero. Okay, that's fine. They say, our investigation of Donald Trump did get a great boost because of Ukraine, but not in the way Republicans imagine. We began looking into Trump's business dealings and ties to Russia in the fall of 2015 with funding from Republicans who wanted to stop his political ascent. The Ukraine alarms went off 6 months later when candidate Trump brought into his campaign none other than Paul Manafort, a man with his own tangled history with Russian oligarchs trying to get their way in Ukraine. It turns out we already knew a great deal about Manafort's activities in Ukraine because we worked on several stories about his work for Russian-backed politicians 8 years earlier when we were both writing for The Wall Street Journal. That reporting threw a spotlight on how Manafort, while representing clients involved in fierce geopolitical struggles over Ukraine, had neglected to comply with lobbying law. And then they talked about how they went to Fusion GPS, and then they turned their focus back to Manafort in early 2016. Okay, but that's not why Fusion GPS is famous, guys. I mean, I'm not sure why Fusion GPS is even writing about this. The talk about Ukrainian interference has almost nothing to do with Fusion GPS. I mean, really, the New York Times, if they want to get somebody who's involved in this whole thing, and they want to get them to refute Ukrainian rumors, they should get somebody from CrowdStrike to write about it, right? I mean, that would make sense. I'm not sure why Fusion GPS is writing about this. But the whole idea is that you're going to get somebody who is involved in Russiagate to now get involved in Ukrainegate so you can conflate all this stuff. But they are two separate issues with two separate fact patterns. Okay, coming up, we're going to get into President Trump and China policy. The president threatening to veto a bill that cracks down on China. Why would he do this thing? And the president has been very strong in his anti-China policy. Why is he suddenly caving to pressure? We'll explain momentarily. You're listening to Ben Shapiro Show.
Make a healthy choice about the air you breathe. Start with the Wave Smart Ventilation Unit to expel the polluted damp air from your basement and crawl space. Then add upstairs a hospital-grade 6-stage air purifier, which includes a HEPA filter and a powerful dual UV system. Stop worrying about mold, odors, radon, carbon monoxide, chemicals, and hundreds of other pollutants that are trapped in your home. Visit dryhome123.com and learn how to make your home healthier and fresher all year round. That's dryhome123.com.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes, you need a new start. Our New Start program will stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS has in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Call 1-800-312-9970. Let the professionals at Coast One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-312-9970.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Joan London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. It's a free service, and we've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad. There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-391-1755. That's 1-800-391-1755.
If you can't seem to stay ahead of your bills, then this message is for you. How would you like to have a large portion of your credit card debt, medical bills, and department store debt forgiven? National Credit Card Relief would like to give you free information on a proven debt forgiveness program. This program has been used by thousands to legally forgive millions in unsecured debt. It's not bankruptcy. It's not consolidation. This special program actually wipes clean the portion of your debt that is forgiven from what you owe your creditors. Call for free information and get all your questions answered in the first free call. The more you owe, the more you can save. If you have at least $10,000 or more in credit card bills, this debt forgiveness program can be very effective. Call for free information and find out more now. 800-291-6670. There is no cost or obligation for the information. Don't wait. Call 800-291-6670. That's 800-291-6670. Get your debt problem solved. Call 800-291-6670 today. Not available in North Dakota.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Even the New York Times is now acknowledging there's some serious holes in the Democrats' impeachment case. There's a piece by Peter Baker over at the New York Times called The Impeachment Witnesses Not Heard. With his public hearings over, the House Intelligence Committee plans to move forward without testimony by some of the key players in the Ukraine drama. He says in recent days, lawmakers were told that when President Trump ramped up his campaign to pressure Ukraine into helping him against his domestic political rivals, he directed advisors to his personal lawyer. Talk with Rudy, he instructed. But one thing lawmakers will not do is talk with Rudy. Rudy Giuliani was hardly the only offstage character during 2 weeks of impeachment hearings that ended on Thursday. Lawmakers also heard that Mike Pence and Mike Pompeo were in the loop, that Mick Mulvaney organized the political equivalent of a drug deal, and that John Bolton was adamantly against it. But among those missing from the House Intelligence Committee's witness list, besides Giuliani, were Pence, Pompeo, Mulvaney, and Bolton. Not that the panel's Democratic majority was necessarily uninterested in talking with the VP, Secretary of State, acting White House Chief of Staff, or former NSA. Democratic leaders have decided not to wage a drawn-out fight to force them to testify over White House objections. Instead, as the committee wrapped up its public hearings on Thursday, House Democrats have opted for expeditious over comprehensive, electing to complete their investigation even without filling in major gaps in the story. It is a calculated gamble that they have enough evidence to impeach Trump on a party-line vote in the House and would risk losing momentum if they took the time to wage a court fight to compel reluctant witnesses to come forward. Okay, so this is the New York Times acknowledging the Democrats don't have the case. That's what this is. I mean, not to shortchange what Democrats have done here, but they don't have a case. I've been saying all along, the only witness who spoke to Trump among any of the witnesses called by the Democrats was Gordon Sondland. He's the only one. And Gordon Sondland testified, Trump said no quid pro quo. Gordon Sondland testified that he perceived a quid pro quo, so it was sort of an opinion-based thing. Gordon Sondland would not testify that the entire shebang was designed to, quote-unquote, get Joe Biden. In other words, Democrats don't have the elements of their case. They do not. In order to gain the elements of their case, presumably, they would have to subpoena and then wait for a judicial decision on Giuliani, Pence, Pompeo, Mulvaney, and Bolton. But they're not doing any of that, which begs the question, why? Why aren't Democrats doing that? Right? If they were so confident that testimony from Giuliani and Pence and Pompeo and Mulvaney and Bolton would bolster their case and provide more damning information about direct conversations with Trump, why precisely are they not actually moving forward with challenging the resistance to the subpoenas by these Republicans? Why? I would suggest, being the cynical politico that I am, that the Democrats are not doing this because they don't actually believe that these witnesses are going to cut in their favor. So instead, they're going to move forward with an incomplete case. And the New York Times openly acknowledges this. Right? Peter Baker says, it leaves major questions unresolved. Was Mr. Pence told about a suspected link between security aid and investigations of Mr. Trump's political opponents, as one witness testified? Did Pompeo sign off on it? Did Mulvaney facilitate the scheme? Did Bolton ever bring his objections directly to the president? Several current and former officials rushed out statements through aides or lawyers, taking issue with testimony about them. None of them volunteered to offer their own versions of the truth under oath. Democrats have concluded that in the face of White House refusal to cooperate, it is better to press ahead and simply address the refusal of witnesses like Mr. Mulvaney to testify as a plank in a possible article of impeachment alleging obstruction of Congress, which is absurd. Okay, it's absurd. It is not obstruction of Congress for members of the executive branch to decline to appear under a subpoena until a judicial order is issued. That is not obstruction. Obstruction is the justice, the judicial system says you need to appear, and then these witnesses say, no, I'm not appearing anyway. That's obstruction of justice. It is certainly not obstruction of justice to go through the legal process of being ordered by a court to comply with a subpoena. That is how subpoenas are done. Democrats know this, but they're going to lie and they'll put in an article of impeachment. Speaker Nancy Pelosi said on Thursday, they should be coming before us. They keep taking it to court. And no, we're not going to wait until the courts decide. Okay, well, there it is. We're not going to wait until the courts decide. Why? What are you so afraid of? That the court's going to tell you you can't talk to them? Or that the court will tell you you can talk to them, and that they come and then they rip you up and down? Which one is it? Because it certainly is not that you are desperate to hear from them. Pelosi said, that might be information available to the Senate in terms of how far we go and when we go, but we can't wait for that because, again, it's technique. It's obstruction of justice, obstruction of Congress. No. No. Brendan Buck, counselor to former Speaker Paul Ryan, he says, as a political matter, the longer this goes, it's a real opportunity for Democrats to paint Democrats as unconcerned about the issues voters care more about. I think Pelosi is well aware of that. But it does leave missing pieces. Will Hurd of Texas, a more Trump-critical Republican, he said, an impeachable offense should be compelling, overwhelmingly clear, and unambiguous. It's not something to be rushed or taken lightly. I've not heard evidence proving the president committed bribery or extortion. With the White House defying the House, this is just called a normal contention about power. Mulvaney has refused to comply. Pence and Pompeo have defied subpoenas, but have not been asked for testimony. Bolton has declined an invitation to testify and has not been subpoenaed. Okay, so he's not even been subpoenaed. The Democrats don't want to hear from these people, which suggests they know they don't have their case, but they're pushing forward anyway. All right, coming back, we're going to jump into the mailbag. You're listening.
Learn more about our shows and hosts. Check us out online at KCNR1460.com. KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
This is Ted Leidy with the Northern Firearms Instruction Personal Protection Tip of the Day. If you have the ability to park in a garage or carport, do it. Criminals identify dark streets and alleys to target unsuspecting victims who are distracted with loading or unloading packages or children. Another important part of your personal protection plan may be the use of a firearm. If that's the case, give us a call at NFI at 999-1822 or to find and register for one of our popular CCW or other firearm safety courses, visit us online at usgunpro.com. Remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find ammo. 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs, and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Getting into college doesn't happen magically. You have to take the right classes now, like Algebra 2, Biology, and a Foreign Language. Learn more at knowhowtogo.org.
Brought to you by the American Council on Education, Lumina Foundation for Education, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Well, it's a Friday. That means it's time for some mailbag, guys. Let's do this thing. All right, let's jump in. Daryl says, what do you think the odds of the Democrats going into a brokered convention are? Could they end up nominating somebody who isn't even running? Well, two separate questions. The odds that the Democrats go into a brokered convention, I think, are fairly low. I know that there's some conventional wisdom that suggests a brokered convention is a possibility simply because the Democrats are split so many ways. But I think that that was reliant on somebody like Kamala Harris emerging from nowhere and winning California. I think right now it appears that this will boil down in some version to a race between Joe Biden and X. And X has yet to be decided. Will it be Elizabeth Warren? Will it be Pete Buttigieg? Will it be Bernie Sanders for some reason? I don't think that this is going to turn into a four-person race where all of the delegates are split so evenly that it's impossible for anybody to win the requisite majority of delegates. Now, listen, there are states that have proportional representation in terms of the delegate split. So I believe California is one of them. I think that if you win half the delegates and somebody else wins half the delegates, you don't win the entirety of the delegates. But with that said, again, I don't see tons of viable opposition to Biden as this thing rolls forward. Let's say that Pete Buttigieg ends up being the guy who wins Iowa and New Hampshire. Let's say the momentum keeps on going. Buttigieg is able to activate his organization. Dude's got a lot of money in the bank, and he somehow defeats Warren in both those states. He wins Iowa. He carries that over to New Hampshire. He's got no play in Nevada. He's got no play in South Carolina. He's got very little play in California, according to the current polls. And so that means that Joe Biden probably then starts to sweep the table. And Buttigieg is in real trouble. I don't think that it's a likelihood. Even if it went to brokered convention, would they nominate somebody who isn't running? Very doubtful. Very doubtful. The idea of just picking somebody out of a hat and going, yeah, that guy. I don't think that that's something that most of the delegates would go for, especially after a hard-fought primary campaign. This is why so many Democrats right now are jumping into the race late, because they're going, okay, this thing's a mess. All these candidates suck. So you see Deval Patrick from Massachusetts jumping in and Bloomberg jumping in. There's really only one name or two. There are really only two names where if they jumped in, it would make a splash. One is Hillary Clinton, obviously, who in her heart of hearts wants it, desperately wants it. And the other person who's a possibility still is Michelle Obama. She says she doesn't want it. I get the impression she doesn't want it. She's enjoying living the rich and fabulous life of being a well-beloved former first lady. I don't see her giving that up to run for political office and be dragged through the mud again. It's just, by the way, it's a rough life. I mean, it really is. You think it's enjoyable running for office? This looks like just a garbage lifestyle. Rafi says, one, legally, doesn't matter whether President Trump offered to release military aid versus the offer to have a meeting with Ukrainian President Zelensky. Ambassador Sondland used the phrase quid pro quo only with regard to the offer of a meeting. Two, how is this alleged quid pro quo different than any time conditions are placed on aid or a presidential meeting? Okay, so as far as the difference between a meeting and release of military aid, there could theoretically be a difference there. In the sense that military aid is something delegated by Congress, meaning that Congress passes the budget for the military aid. The president is not, in fact, the person charged with holding up military aid in defiance of Congress. Right? That there have been strings attached by people in the past on things like loan guarantees, but when military aid is supposed to go forth, it's supposed to go forth, as opposed to White House meetings, which are more in the discretion of the president. So maybe there's a distinction to be drawn there. I tend not to believe the idea that the military aid was being held up for any reason that was not related to one of the other questions, right? The big question for people who keep saying, well, you know, someone testified that the military aid he thinks was held up on the basis of a quid pro quo, but he really only has evidence that the meeting was held up on the basis of a quid pro quo. This still does not answer the question, so why was the military aid held up? And why was it released as soon as this thing became public? And that really is a solid question that Democrats have posed. And the only answer to it is the honest answer, which is that this whole thing was part of a big bundle of policy, and Donald Trump was withholding military aid and meetings from Ukraine because he wanted them to do a thing. The question is, was that thing a horrible thing, Was it about getting Joe Biden, or was it about investigating his perception of 2016 election interference and broader Ukrainian corruption that tied into it? And that brings us to question two, Rafi. How is the alleged quid pro quo different than any time conditions are placed on aid? I mean, the Trump administration would argue they're not, right? I mean, this is exactly what Mick Mulvaney said. He said, sure, there is a quid pro quo. That happens all the time, right? We attach strings to aid on a routine basis. So what is different about this one? Now, what's different about this one is, one, it was based on bad information provided by Rudy Giuliani, and two, Democrats claim that it was solely for Trump's political interest. But I think, two, the second part of that is incredibly hard to prove, and I think that even if Trump was basing his opinion on foreign aid on bad information provided by Giuliani, that doesn't actually speak to impeachable offenses. It speaks to bad judgment. Jerry asked, a professor told my class the originalist perspective only recently came about. Is this true? If not, how would you counter this notion? Well, no, the originalist perspective only came about as a response to the fact that the newfangled Supreme Court jurisprudence that you can interpret the law as poetry is a newfangled thing. That's sort of like saying that the Supreme Court only recently ruled on the Second Amendment. Right, they only recently ruled on the Second Amendment because up until now it was pretty well established throughout the United States that the Second Amendment was sacrosanct. It is only attacks that have driven the open expression of the Second Amendment perspective of the Supreme Court. The originalist perspective was taken for granted. If you read any Supreme Court decision from the 19th century and for the first third of the 20th century, what you will see is the Supreme Court trying to look into the words of the Constitution and determine what the Constitution means. Then you get to the FDR court after he tried his court packing plan, and suddenly the Supreme Court starts ruling in alignment with its own personal values, and then that extends into the Warren Court, and that extends even into some of the rulings under the Rehnquist Court, right? This is the bizarre notion that this whole thing, this originalist perspective, is newfangled, ignores the fact that the only reason that judges have had to articulate an originalist perspective is because an anti-originalist perspective openly cropped up, at which point you have to stay. It's such a weird argument, that argument, that originalism is new. Originalism was the baseline. That's like saying that the anti-gay marriage movement is new. Okay, well, no, the pro-traditional marriage movement was the assumed consensus for most of world history. Then the same-sex marriage movement arose, and then in response to the same-sex marriage movement, there arose an anti-same-sex marriage movement. But the perspective, traditional marriage was the only type of proper marriage, was the perspective for most of human history. Same thing with originalism. Alex says, what is your opinion on needle exchange programs? It's difficult for me to rationalize the government using tax dollars to enable those with a drug addiction. On the other hand, if addiction is a disease and substance abusers are incapable of expressing their own free will, would the government be justified in supplying these individuals with needles to promote their well-being? No, I don't believe in needle exchange programs. I have not seen studies that demonstrate their efficacy. More important than studies demonstrating their efficacy, I don't see the morality of handing people tools paid for by the government that they use to inject themselves with illicit drugs. It seems to me that if the government is in the business of facilitating drug use, if you're going to make the government responsible for drug use, then the government also ought to have a role in cleaning people up, meaning the government ought to be arresting people who are incapable of taking care of themselves or not incarcerating, putting them in drug treatment programs to clean them out and mandating that they clean out. If the government's in control or it ain't, you got to pick. Jordan says, I'm a 17-year-old Australian. I've been subscribed for just over a year now and take my Tumblr to school every day. Needless to say, the tears are constantly overflowing. I'd love to do political analysis as a career in a format similar to yours or that of Michael Knowles, regardless of his execrableness. Do you have any suggestions for me so that I may achieve this? Well, what I always say to people is that people want information first and perspective second. As I'm sure your parents are fond of telling you, opinions are like, we'll say, armpits for the cleanliness of the conversation. Everyone has them, but that doesn't mean that anyone wants to see them. Well, the fact is that opinions usually come after your capacity for conveying intelligence information to people, which is why on my show, I've always focused in on I'm going to give you the information first, and then I will give you my opinion on the information second. All righty, we'll get to more of your questions from the mailbag. But first, it is that time of the year. It's that season. Open enrollment season is what I'm talking about. Oh, you look forward to it every year. Now you finally get to buy that life insurance you have so craved. There's only one problem. The life insurance you are buying through your employer, good shot it's insufficient to actually take care of your family in case, God forbid, something happens to you. Well, this is where Policy Genius can help. Policy Genius is the easy way to shop for a life insurance plan that is not tied to your job. In minutes, you can compare quotes from top insurers and find your best price. Once you apply, the Policy Genius team handles all the paperwork and the red tape. The life insurance you buy through Policy Genius stays with you, even if you leave your job. And Policy Genius doesn't just do life insurance. They also do home insurance and auto insurance and disability insurance. So when you're looking at your workplace benefits this month, make sure to double-check those life insurance options. Then head on over to PolicyGenius.com, get quotes, apply in minutes. Policy Genius, it's the easy way to compare and buy life insurance. Again, head on over to PolicyGenius.com to get quotes and apply in minutes. Make the magic happen for yourself and make sure your family is taken. It's called being an adult. Okay, risks happen. Make sure you're insured against those risks. Go check out PolicyGenius.com. Okay, more of your questions. Walker says, Dear Ben, quick question, hopefully. I'm prepping for my medical school interviews, and I'm interested in hearing how you prep for law school interviews. I have several coming up. I wouldn't mind a little extra advice from my favorite conservative host. Thanks. Well, a couple things. One, when you get into Harvard, ain't no interview, right? So many of the law schools don't actually have interviews. Harvard doesn't happen to have interviews, so I don't have great advice on interviews. Also, I am pretty much the worst source of interview advice that you can find because, for example, I believe I have the worst interview record for law firm jobs of any graduate of Harvard Law School I can possibly think of. So I graduated cum laude from Harvard, which means like top third of the class at Harvard. And that was because I was writing a couple of books at the time. And my resume was pretty good, right? I had a couple of books. I graduated cum laude from Harvard. I graduated summa from UCLA. So I go in for all my law firm interviews, and I made a big mistake. My big mistake was I was honest. You shouldn't be honest in interviews for this kind of thing. So the law firms at Harvard come and they interview you, not the other way around. You don't go to their law firm. They instead come there and they try to recruit you because you are the finest and the wisest. Okay, so you walk into these rooms in the Charles Hotel in Boston, beautiful hotel, and you are interviewed by law firm partners. Well, I specifically remember walking into one interview and the interviewer looking at the names of my books on the resume and immediately stating, at the very beginning of the interview, before I even said anything, immediately stating, it has always been my contention that conservatives and religious people in general have a Freudian fear of sex. That was the opener to the interview. Well, at that point, I knew I didn't have the job, so I was like, screw this. I said, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. And then I proceeded to explain why it was dumb. Not a good interview strategy. Other bad interview strategies that I applied. I was asked by members of law firms, associates and partners at law firms, you'd come in, they'd be like, why do you want to work in transactional real estate? Why do you want to be a litigator? Right? Two different types of lawyers. And I would say the obviously true answer, for the money. No one goes and works for Gibson, Dunn & Crutcher because they are desperate to do doc review for years on end for 2,200 billable hours. No one. It is a miserable job. Of course you're doing it for the money. You're $150,000 in debt. Of course you're doing it for the money. This apparently is the wrong answer. You're supposed to say, for the love of the law. For the love of the law. Of course, that's not true. But, you know, you're supposed to fib. So my best advice, if you want a job, you have to give people who are attempting to hire you exactly what they want to hear. Now, what you should decide is whether it's a job that you want. Because if they're going to discriminate against you, maybe you don't want that job in the first place. I'm not saying that you have to lie. I'm saying you just have to shade the rough edges. I did not do that in my early interview experiences. By the way, how did I end up getting a law firm job? I took my books off my resume. Literally, the Office of Career Counseling at Harvard told me, they couldn't believe that I think I went 1 for 32 in my law firm interviews, which is well below the Mendoza line. And they said, the reason for this is because you have your conservative book titles on your resume. Take them off. I took them off. The next week, I got 2 callbacks. Goes to show you the bias in the legal industry. Okay. We will get to a little bit of Bible talk. It's a Friday. We've got to relax a little bit. We'll do that in just a second. First, quick reminder, go over to dailywire.com and subscribe. If you've missed the opportunity to listen to the Ben Shapiro Show, don't let it happen again. Dailywire.com has all the archives. Also, if you want to watch the shows, you can see every clip in real time. You can see my face as I react to those clips. It is magic. Then all you have to do is go over to dailywire.com and subscribe. Also, you get a bunch of other shows. You get Andrew Klavan's show and Matt Walsh's show. You get Michael Knowles' show, which I guess is a selling point, sort of. Don't wait any longer. Head on over to dailywire.com. Become a subscriber for just $9.99 a month or $99 a year. Be sure to also check out the new Daily Wire store over at amazon.com. Stock up on those official Daily Wire hoodies, T-shirts, sweaters, and more. That is dailywire.com. Become a subscriber. Join tens of thousands of fans in supporting the largest conservative podcast in the United States. Alrighty, coming up every Friday, we've been going through a section of the Bible because it is the most important document in the history of the world, and people tend not to take it with the seriousness it merits. We'll do a little bit of that coming up. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
If
If you can't seem to stay ahead of your bills, then this message is for you. How would you like to have a large portion of your credit card debt, medical bills, and department store debt forgiven? National Credit Card Relief would like to give you free information on a proven debt forgiveness program. This program has been used by thousands to legally forgive millions in unsecured debt. It's not bankruptcy. It's not consolidation. This special program actually wipes clean the portion of your debt that is forgiven from what you owe your creditors. Call for free information and get all your questions answered in the first free call. The more you owe, the more you can save. If you have at least $10,000 or more in credit card bills, this debt forgiveness program can be very effective. Call for free information and find out more now. 800-291-6670. There is no cost or obligation for the information. Don't wait. Call 800-291-6670. That's 800-291-6670. Get your debt problem solved. Call 800-291-6670 today. Not available in North Dakota.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Joan London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. It's a free service, and we've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad. There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-391-1755. That's 1-800-391-1755.
If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes, you need a new start. Our New Start program will stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS has in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Call 1-800-312-9970. Let the professionals at Coast One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-312-9970.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
Make a healthy choice about the air you breathe. Start with the Wave Smart Ventilation Unit to expel the polluted damp air from your basement and crawl space. Then add upstairs a hospital-grade 6-stage air purifier, which includes a HEPA filter and a powerful dual UV system. Stop worrying about mold, odors, radon, carbon monoxide, chemicals, and hundreds of other pollutants that are trapped in your home. Visit dryhome123.com and learn how to make your home healthier and fresher all year round. That's dryhome123.com.
So this, every week we've been doing this, we've been going through a little bit of the Bible, just like the Jews do. Every week we read a section from the Torah. This week happens to be the Parsha Chayei Sarah, which is the portion of the Old Testament in which the founding mother of the Jewish people, Sarah, dies. She's buried in Hebron. We are supposed to pretend that this is actually historic Muslim territory as opposed to historic Jewish territory, despite the fact that it is the first land ever bought in the Bible, and it's bought by Abraham for money, so that he has a legitimate claim on the land. In any case, good for the Trump administration for declaring this week that Israeli settlements are not de facto illegal, because they are not de facto or de jure illegal. The fact is, Jews have been in Hebron, they have been living in Hebron for literally thousands of years, and this Sabbath in particular, Hebron happens to be a place where literally 100,000 Jews will go and sleep in their cars in like a 3-block area just to be near the burial site of Abraham and Sarah, which, by the way, is disproportionately controlled by Muslims. I mean, the actual site, the Marat HaMachpelah, the Cave of the Patriarchs and the Matriarchs, that site, like 80% of the actual site is controlled by Muslims who will not let Jews in except on like 3 days of the year. In any case, the biblical portion that talks about Sarah is really interesting. So Sarah is sort of a fascinating character in the Bible. She has an incredibly rough life, and she's living inside what can only be described as a patriarchal system, right? She gets married to Abraham. She's sort of the first real female in the Bible, in the sense that, in my opinion, the Adam and Eve story is largely meant to be a metaphor about human nature. But once you get to Abraham, you start with the actual history of the Jewish people. So Sarah is the founding mother of the Jewish people, and therefore also of Islamic peoples because she is, it's her handmaid Hagar who has Ishmael, who's considered the progenitor of Islam, and she also is the grandmother of Esau, who is considered the progenitor of Christians and sort of Jewish tradition. In any case, Sarah lives within the bounds of a patriarchy, right? Throughout the Bible, she is running into rough situations. And she's forced to go to Pharaoh's palace when Abraham wants to avoid death, for example. Right? They go to Egypt, and Abraham is afraid that Sarah is so beautiful that he's going to be killed. And so he tells Pharaoh that Sarah is his sister, and she goes to live in the palace. Nothing untoward happens, the Bible assures us. Later, Abraham does the same thing again with another king named Abimelech. This isn't exactly female lib kind of stuff. And then later, she makes an offer to Abraham, which is apparently fairly common in the ancient world. She couldn't have kids, and so she makes Abraham an offer to consort with her maidservant, Hagar, and Abraham then goes ahead and does this. And then, finally, when she does give birth, her son is at the mercy of Ishmael, her stepson, and her husband, Abraham, refuses to do anything about this until God explicitly tells him to. And this is the key turning point for Sarah as a character, and I think a key turning point for how women are seen in the Bible generally, and how women ought to be seen. Okay, because God says something pretty special. He tells Abraham, whatever Sarah tells you, heed her voice, since through Isaac will offspring be considered yours. Heed the voice of your wife is a pretty powerful directive in ancient biblical times, right? God's saying that you need to listen to a woman. And for all the people who say that the Bible is inherently patriarchal, ignoring the fact that the Bible itself talks about changing the laws of inheritance to allow women to inherit, for example, by the daughters of Tzelofchad, despite the fact that there are actual leaders of the Jewish people in the Tanakh, in the Old Testament, who are women, like Deborah. Right? Despite that, there are people who suggest that the Bible is deeply, deeply patriarchal in every conceivable sense, that it is not a transition away from more patriarchal, more brutal societies. That, of course, is not true. And you can see the impact of this specific commandment. So God says you need to heed Sarah. And then in this parsha, in this portion of the Torah, Sarah dies. And this changes Abraham's view of women. You can see this, right? He sends his servant, and this is manifest in how he finds a wife for his son, Isaac. So he sends his own servant, Eliezer, to find a wife for Isaac. So in that day, if women were treated as chattel, this isn't a particularly difficult process, right? You find a woman you like, you go to her dad, you pay her dad, and then you get the woman, right? And this was actually incredibly common in the ancient world. For example, when Abraham is posing as Sarah's brother, both Pharaoh and Abimelech, trying to buy his approval, shower him with gifts. But now, Abraham's perspective has changed on women because of Sarah. He tells Eliezer to travel to Canaan from Canaan back to his family to find a wife for Isaac. And then he says, if the woman will not wish to follow you, you will be absolved of this oath of mine. So suddenly, the woman's consent matters in a deep and profound way. And the test that Eliezer is given in order to find Isaac's wife is a consent-based test, right? Because the test is not, I go to this place and then I say, the test that he is given is, if you go, I bring my camels here and a woman offers to bring water to the camels. It is not, I order a woman to bring water to the camels, and if she complies, then she's marriageable material. It's she must offer voluntarily to bring the water. And then the final evidence of the newfound status for women is the negotiation over Rebecca, who ends up marrying Isaac. Eliezer negotiates on behalf of Abraham. He offers the family of Rebecca the customary gift, but he's already negotiated with Rebecca directly, right? He's given her the customary wedding gifts, a golden nose ring, two bracelets on her arm. She accepts them, and then she accepts the marriage proposal. And she voluntarily says that she is going to leave. Right? They are not willing to do so unless they receive fiscal gain. But she, it's the first woman to consent to a marriage in the Bible. She overtly consents. Right? She says, I'm going to go with you, and then she goes with. And then it says in the Torah, this is how Isaac was consoled after his mother, because suddenly an independent woman who was very powerful in the Bible was replaced by another independent woman who was very powerful in the Bible. And I don't think it's any coincidence that the most romantic relationship in the Bible is the relationship between Isaac and Rebekah, because it is based on a certain level of mutual respect and a consent. Right? It's the only time in the Torah, of which I'm aware, that there's a description between husband and wife that he loved her. Right? That's actually explicitly said in the Bible. It says, Isaac brought her into the tent of Sarah, his mother. He married Rebekah. She became his wife, and he loved her. Right? Because Isaac.
Tobacco and Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, has been an integral part of our community for over 40 years. They have supported the veterans, law enforcement, fire and disaster survivors throughout this whole time. Tobacco and Brew has expanded their walk-in humidor and brought to the North State new lines of fine cigars, pipes, and tobacco products. Additionally, they are offering a pipe bar to try out new tobacco for taste and aroma. Tobacco and Brew is your one-stop shop for any tobacco product and accessories to include lighters, humidors, pouches, and more. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
I expect it to be a lot easier.
I didn't know what step to take next.
I was transitioning from the military. I was a vehicle gunner.
An avionics specialist.
I missed my unit, my family.
Playing with my daughter, I'd felt like a stranger.
I didn't have a clear sense of what to do next.
And then I thought, if I'm going through this, other veterans have gone through it too, right? So I reached out, and I saw that I wasn't alone.
Go to maketheconnection.net to learn how other veterans have overcome the challenges of transitioning out of the military.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Gordon Griffith. President Trump feeling confident after 2 weeks of public impeachment hearings.
Following 5 days of testimony in the impeachment investigation, the president says he's feeling good.
I think we had a tremendous week with the hoax, you know, the great hoax.
The president is confident even as Democrats move closer to voting for impeachment. One reason for his optimism is a unified GOP.
I don't think I've ever seen support in the Republican Party like we do right now.
Greg Clugston, the White House.
Attorney General William Barr says he will go to the U.S. Supreme Court if that's what it takes to restart federal executions after a 16-year hiatus.
Barr's comments came hours after a district court judge temporarily blocked the administration's plans to start executions next month. In announcing the administration's plans to appeal, Barr also noted that the five inmates sent to be executed are a small portion of the 62 death row inmates. The attorney general unexpectedly announced back in July the government would resume executions next month, ending an informal moratorium on federal capital punishment. By Agnew reporting.
And the attorney general announced a national plan to address cases of missing and slain indigenous people as concerns mount over the level of violence they face. Barr made that announcement Friday about the Missing and Murdered Indigenous Persons Initiative on the Flathead Reservation in Montana. The plan adds specialized coordinators in 11 U.S. attorneys' offices would coordinate the law enforcement response for cases of missing indigenous people. The parents of a former U.S. hostage who died after being released from North Korea in a coma in 2017 say they're committed to finding and shutting down illicit North Korean business assets around the world.
We cannot give up. We can't give them a pass. We have to fight with all of our power.
Cindy Warmbier, the mother of former U.S. hostage Otto Warmbier. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The Bastion Gorka here for Relief Factor, the 100% drug-free supplement that was formulated by doctors to help your body deal with inflammation and pain. The reason I've told so many of my friends about the 3-week quick start is because as we get older, occasional aches and pains can be a real problem, keeping you from sleeping through the night or doing the things you love and need to do, like taking walks or playing golf, going up or downstairs, or simply playing with your kids or grandkids. Tens of thousands are now like me, glad they ordered the 3-week quick start for just $19.95. After years of back pain, I found relief, and I believe you could too. Folks, this is why the father and son owners of Relief Factor, Pete and Seth Talbot, created the 3-week quick start, and they discounted it to only $19.95. Approximately 70% of those who order it go on to order more. Let's see if we can get you out of pain, too. Go to ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com, or call 800-500-8384.
Britain's disgraced Prince Andrew faces an uncertain role in the future. Correspondent Charles de Ledesma has more on the story.
Prince Andrew is scaling back travel and facing the unknown. As he steps away from the royal role he's embraced during his entire adult life, the prince has suffered numerous setbacks in the 6 days since a disastrous TV interview when he defended his friendship with Jeffrey Epstein, the convicted sex offender. Now, one newspaper is arguing the need for urgent reform of the royal household. The Times urges Andrew's older brother and heir to the throne, Prince Charles, to take steps to streamline and make the royal family more modest. Charles de Ledesma, London.
IBM's artificial intelligence debating robot faced off against itself at Cambridge University in a demonstration of what the future might hold. Project Debater, a robot that has already debated humans, was for the first time pitted against itself. News and analysis at townhall.com. Amazon pulls skin lightening products. Here's correspondent Mike Gracia.
Amazon has stopped selling more than a dozen skin lightening products because they contain dangerous levels of mercury. Minnesota Public Radio reports two groups, the Beauty Well Project and the Minnesota State Branch of the Sierra Club, delivered a petition Wednesday with over 23,000 signatures to Amazon's fulfillment center in Shakopee, Minnesota. The Beauty Well Project has been warning women about the dangers of creams intended to lighten their skin for about 8 years. Skin lightening creams have remained popular among some communities of color, despite concerns about mercury. I'm Mike Gracia.
World anti-doping regulators have recommended Russia be declared non-compliant again, setting up a showdown that could make the country ineligible for next summer's Olympics. The World Anti-Doping Agency announced that its Compliance and Review Committee made the recommendation. More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Gordon Griffin.
Hi, this is Linda Bott, and let me tell you about our North State Now show on Thursday nights at 6 p.m. right here on KCNR. The first Thursday of the month will be yours truly, covering arts and entertainment and all kinds of fun stuff. The second Thursday will be Michelle Slade, highlighting and interviewing North State heroes. The third Thursday is James Masada and Rhonda Alvey, bringing you all things with Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. And the fourth Thursday from Shasta Regional Medical Center is Dr. Orna Gill covering all things women's health. The title sponsor for North State Now is the Reading Civic Auditorium. Also brought to you by the Black Bear Diner, Shasta Regional Medical Center, and Carlene's Restaurant and Bar, located at 1100 Center Street. That's North State Now, right here on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. 6 p.m. North State Now.
Hey, welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Got a lot coming up for you this hour. A little bit later on in the hour, we will be joined by Jason Whitlock. Jason, of course, is a host on Fox Sports. Also, we'll be joined a little bit later by Charlotte Pence, the daughter of Vice President Mike Pence, who has a brand new book out, and we'll be talking about that. It's a great book to pick up for the holidays. But we begin at this hour with fallout from the Democratic debate last night. So the Democrats had their debate, and it was boring. Super duper 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 boring. When I say that it was boring, I mean that like everyone thought it was boring because the ratings are now out. And according to the Nielsen numbers, about 6.5 million viewers tuned in to watch the November 20th debate in Atlanta. This is Mediaite reporting, including 1.6 million in the advertiser's coveted 25 to 54 demo. That is a downturn from the 8.5 million viewers CNN earned from the October 15th debate, where they had 2.4 million in the targeted 25 to 54 demo. It was not a good debate. It was, in fact, an insanely boring debate. And not only was it a boring debate, the moderator sucked. So it was all the worst of all, it was the worst of all worlds. There were no great kind of capturable moments. These debates have basically become about the moments where people have a breakout, right? Kamala Harris attacks Joe Biden. It's the thing everybody's talking about at the water cooler the next day. Well, nobody was talking about this debate the next day, not even the candidates, because it was incredibly boring. Effectively, it was a circle shoulder rub. Everybody was just giving each other a shoulder rub. How great are you? Oh, I'm great. You're so great, too. Man, this isn't real. This is not, they were doing trust falls on the stage. And so that was weird. And, as I say, the moderators also happened to be incredibly terrible because every question was from the left. There was not a single question that asked with any level of skepticism about the Democrats' plans for the country. Instead, it was, but wouldn't you be better off giving more money to this program? Wouldn't you be better off taxing more people? Wouldn't you be better off not just saying you want Trump impeached, but that you want him actually drawn and quartered? Terrible job by the moderators. Andrew Yang, who's maybe the only normal person on the stage. I've actually met Andrew Yang. Very nice dude. We disagree on a lot politically, but he's actually run a business. He's actually had some success in that sphere, done some good work in the nonprofit sector. We may disagree on universal basic income, but Andrew Yang is actually a decent dude. And he was shut completely out of the debate for the first 32 minutes. He was not asked a single question in the debate. Instead, we got to hear Kamala Harris jabber on nonsensically. So Andrew Yang was on CNN. He just ripped into MSNBC because he's a normal human being, and that's what he should do.
You know, Wolf, all I can say is I miss CNN moderating these debates. No, I mean, they saw it last night, too. I mean, America saw it. I went 32 minutes without a question, and I was raising my hands trying to get a word in edgewise during that time. So when you all moderated the debate, it was straight up the middle. It was professional. We got real substantive topics.
Okay, and he's a little wrong about CNN, but he's not that wrong. I mean, CNN was certainly a lot better than MSNBC, so nobody watched the debate. It's also true that these are not exciting candidates. Nobody's like, oh, my God, I'm so excited for Joe Biden. That's not a thing that is happening. Nobody is saying, oh, man, I need more Pete Buttigieg. Just I can't get enough of Pete Buttigieg. Nobody is doing that. And Pete Buttigieg is good at what he does. He is a smooth operator for sure, but he's not somebody who gets anybody going politically. And the same is true, really, with Elizabeth Warren. The only person on the stage who has any sort of excited base is Bernie Sanders, and it's the same kook group that supported him last time around. And so this field begins to look, as I've been saying for the past several months, starting to look a lot like the Republican 2012 field, when Mitt Romney was the early frontrunner, and then the Republicans were like, well, do we really want to settle on this guy? And then they went through Rick Santorum and Newt Gingrich and Rick Perry and Herman Cain and Michelle Bachmann, and then finally they're like, well, guess all those people weren't it. Guess it's Romney. That's the position that Joe Biden is in right now. That's not going to excite anybody. And Joe Biden is not an inherently exciting campaign. I mean, I'm not sure how you would ever find an actual soporific, possibly comatose, 76-year-old, like an actual asleep geriatric. Like people don't go to the early bird dinners or the AARP meetings for entertainment. They go there, I presume, because of the free food or because of the cheap food at the early bird dinners. Well, that's Joe Biden. A convenient, cheap, comfort food. And that's why he's the front runner. Here's Joe Biden.
I am the clear front runner in the party. I'm ahead on the national average of all the polls by 7-8%. But it's a long way to go. And the other reason is that, look, whomever is the nominee, it's not going to be enough just to beat Donald Trump. You've got to be able to win in states like this. You've got to be able to be value added to make sure we pick up Senate seats and House seats. And so in every one of these polls in these states that I find myself in, I'm not counting on polls, but the fact is that I'm ahead in every one of the toss-up states.
Okay, and he is correct about this as far as the other Democrats. He's not right about this with regard to Trump. With regard to Trump, he's actually running behind in some of those toss-up states. There's a poll from Wisconsin today that shows that he's actually behind Donald Trump by 3 in Wisconsin. Now, there's some other polls that show him up very slightly or within margin of error in the other swing states, but it's true that he's running a lot stronger than Warren or Sanders or Buttigieg in all of these swing states. Meanwhile, Elizabeth Warren's collapse continues at epic rate. It's pretty amazing to watch. And Joe Biden never collapsed down into like the teens, right? Joe Biden's collapse came from like 40% down to 30%, but at no point did Joe Biden ever drop into like the 10% range. But Elizabeth Warren started off like 5%, jumped all the way up to mid-20s, and now is dropping back down into the teens. And that's because her plans just make no sense. So Cory Booker, who at this point is basically running for vice president, was on CNN, and he went off again on Warren's wealth tax, which is completely unconstitutional and doesn't achieve its purposes.
It is hard to evaluate. Other nations have tried this. You literally have to assess every single year of somebody's wealth, from the paintings on their wall to the value of their farm. People would be fighting that in court. It would take years to figure out, and they want to do this every single year. There are better ways to do this, to get revenue. My plan is much, much better. Love Elizabeth. Love the intention behind it. But we can find a way to do fair, just taxation.
So Warren is falling apart, but the problem is the media still love Warren. So you get the media separate from the Democratic public. The Democratic public is not nearly as extreme as the folks on social media. There are good polls to show this. If you poll Democrats on Twitter, what you would find is that they are largely open borders, that they are very much in favor of an intersectional politics that sees America as a villain. It's because Beto O'Rourke was too much on Twitter that he started saying idiotic far-left nostrums along the lines of Bernie Sanders. But the fact is, most Democrats are not on board with that sort of stuff. But the New York Times is on board with that sort of stuff, and so they're now spending virtually every waking moment trying to prop up Elizabeth Warren in the face of attacks from, for example, Pete Buttigieg. Now, as I say, nobody's excited about any of this, right? The DNC has released its new October fundraising numbers, and they're just terrible. The DNC reported less than $8.7 million of cash on hand, over $7 million of debt in a new FTC report, according to the Daily Caller. Their poor fundraising numbers come with less than a year to the 2020 presidential election. The RNC, by contrast, raised 3 times as much money, $25 million in October. They reported $60 million cash on hand. In the joint fundraising effort between the Trump campaign and the RNC, they've raised over $300 million in 2019 thus far. They've got over $156 million in cash on hand. The Democrats are just getting swamped. And again, that is because the stuff that jazzes up Democrats is not represented by anybody on that stage. And nobody on that stage is going to is going to capture the imagination. And that means that most of these candidates have one significant flaw. Like they have a big chink in their armor that means their candidacy is a lot weaker than it appears on the surface. So for Warren, that chink in the armor is that her plans are garbage, that she spent months being feeded for her plans by the media. And the media have spent months talking about how brilliant she is, and then as soon as they are exposed to the most rudimentary analysis, her plans completely fall apart. It is also true that Elizabeth Warren is a uniquely charmless individual. Like, truly charmless. Which, of course, has led to a bevy of think pieces about how if you say that Elizabeth Warren is charmless, then you are sexist. Like, there's a piece from a woman named Christina Cauderucci today over at Slate called Attitude Problem. For voters and pundits, worrying about women's likability is a nice way to express a nasty bias. But what if she's actually unlikable? I mean, what if Elizabeth Warren is actually unlikable? Like, for example, what if she's the type of person who steps on other people's jokes? I played a clip of her from the last debate in which Andrew Yang told a joke, and Elizabeth Warren immediately jumped in to step all over the joke because she's irritating. Because she's an irritating human being. So she continues to proclaim that the reason she's unpopular is because of sexism, but that's not true. Elizabeth Warren would not be the first Democratic woman to win a nomination. Hillary Clinton won the nomination last time, despite the fact that she's a deeply irritating human being. But Warren continues to pretend that it's all about the sexism. It's all about the fact that women are held to a higher standard or something. You know, one of my favorite studies of 2016, there was this really kind of fun reenactment of the Trump-Hillary debate, where the assumption on part of the media was that if Trump had been a woman and Hillary had been a man, Hillary would have clocked Trump in those debates. And it was really the matter of how things were expressed, as well as Trump's image versus Hillary image, that benefited Trump. Well, they did this experiment in front of a focus group, where they had a woman say all of Trump's lines and a man say all of Hillary Clinton's lines, and the female Trump won by more. So it was what was being said, not merely the person who was saying it. And yet apparently the idea is that if you think that Elizabeth Warren's a bad candidate, it's because you can't stand X chromosomes or something dumb like that. Now, that ain't it. That ain't it. And the stats show that she is, as I say, collapsing. We'll get to more of Elizabeth Warren's epic collapse and the media trying to hold up Warren by knocking down Pete Buttigieg. We'll get to that in just 1 second. First, if you have been watching these Democratic debates, you're unlucky enough to have been chained in a basement somewhere and told to either watch the debate or saw off your own arm. If you're one of those unlucky few who have been forced to watch these debates, you know the Democrats are moving in an increasingly socialist direction. Even the so-called moderates are far to the left of where Barack Obama even was 5 years ago. Well, this should scare you, but to understand just how left the Democrats have become, just how socialistic they've become, you could take a look at the socialist scorecard put together by my friends over at FreedomWorks. They are dedicated to stopping the Democratic agenda. They are dedicated to stopping the growth of government. They are dedicated to ending big spending. And they can provide you all the information you need for Thanksgiving dinner. So go check them out by texting my name, Ben, to 52886. You'll receive exclusive access to FreedomWorks' socialist scorecard. You can evaluate these Democratic candidates yourself and decide just how socialist they are. FreedomWorks has spent a lot of time analyzing what they've had to say. If you'd like to have all that information at your disposal so you can argue with Uncle Bob over the Thanksgiving table, if you'd like to view it, please text Ben, my name, Ben, to 52886 and receive exclusive access to FreedomWorks' socialist scorecard right now. Again, text my name, Ben, to 52886. So again, the reason the media are trying to save Warren is because she's collapsing. As I say, mid-October, Elizabeth Warren was considered by betting markets to be the favorite for the nomination by leaps and bounds. She was all the way up at like 50% in the betting markets. She is now all the way down to 26% with Biden at 25 and Buttigieg at 21 and Sanders at 16, which suggests it's a wide open race. In New Hampshire, the last couple of polls have her now trailing Pete Buttigieg. The latest poll from New Hampshire has her trailing Pete Buttigieg by 10. In Iowa, Buttigieg is now up by a solid percentage. In the national polling average, Warren has now fallen below Bernie Sanders for the first time in months. So she's falling apart, and this has prompted the New York Times to attack Pete Buttigieg because they have to save their lady. So you got the New York Times white knighting for Elizabeth Warren with a slam of a piece titled Pete Buttigieg is struggling with black Democrats. Here's why. By Reed Epstein, talking about how Pete Buttigieg has basically no supporters inside the institutional black community. Says former VP Joe Biden has 154 endorsements from current or former black or Hispanic elected officials. Kamala Harris has 93. Bernie Sanders has 91. Cory Booker has 50. Elizabeth Warren has 43. Buttigieg has 6. The South Bend, Indiana mayor has surged to first place in some Iowa polls, has built a big money fundraising operation that is the strongest in the Democratic presidential field. But as his campaign has grown exponentially beyond the small band of loyalists who began in January, Buttigieg has failed to demonstrate even minimal support among African Americans and Hispanics, critical voting blocks that will have a much larger say after Iowa and New Hampshire and their nearly all-white electorates begin the presidential nominating calendar. Buttigieg's weakness with voters of color limits his potential in the 2020 campaign. A donor class favorite who draws capacity crowds across Iowa, Buttigieg counts as his highest profile black supporter, either a guy who lost the 2018 election to be Florida's attorney general or the former mayor of Kansas City, Missouri. So the New York Times taking out the hit on Pete Buttigieg in order to defend Elizabeth Warren. This field is a mess. The Democrats know it. That's why they are focusing in on impeachment. Already coming up, we'll be joined by Jason Whitlock, who co-hosts Fox Sports One original program Speak for Yourself. We'll be talking about a variety of sports-related topics. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes, you need a new start. Our New Start program will stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS has in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Call 1-800-312-9970. Let the professionals at Coast One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-312-9970.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Joan London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. It's a free service, and we've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad. There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-391-1755. That's 1-800-391-1755.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Are you drowning in IRS tax debt?
I owe the IRS $37,000.
Get ready for a toll-free hotline. Take advantage of new IRS tax forgiveness programs that may protect you from IRS collection agencies. They have the power to garnish your wages, put liens on your property, and levy your bank account. Civic Tax Relief can help protect you from the IRS.
Civic Tax Relief basically represented me against the IRS, and by the time everything was completed, I didn't owe the IRS anything.
Find out about the Fresh Start program that is now available through Civic Tax Relief. Civic Tax Relief's special tax hotline can help you discover all the relief programs available for free.
I would recommend anyone who has a tax problem to contact Civic Tax Relief.
Just call 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908. Don't wait. Call now. 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908.
If you have hard water, the limescale not only leaves white spots, it clogs pipes and breaks down appliances, costing you hundreds of dollars in energy and wear. Eliminate limescale and other water issues like brown staining, bad odors, and lead with HydroCare water products available from Wave Home Solutions. Wave's affordable systems don't use salts or chemicals. You'll love the way your water tastes, smells, and looks. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, go to WaveBestWater.com. That's WaveBestWater.com.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Joining us on the line is Jason Whitlock. He's co-host of Speak for Yourself, the Fox Sports One original program. He hosts that alongside Marcellus Wiley. He's been a sports writer for 25 years as well. Jason, thanks so much for joining the Ben Shapiro Show.
Thank you, Ben. Thanks for having me.
You bet. So why don't we start with this whole Myles Garrett situation? So for those who missed it, why is Myles Garrett in the news for people who may have been hiding under a rock? What was the situation that arose?
Myles Garrett, in a big football game with the Pittsburgh Steelers, late in the game, they're up 2 touchdowns, the Cleveland Browns are, the game's over, there's 15 seconds left, and he hit Pittsburgh quarterback Mason Rudolph after Mason Rudolph had thrown the ball, and then took him to the ground in what was kind of, it was a late hit in the modern NFL. It could have been called, you know, unsportsmanlike conduct for a hit on the quarterback. It wasn't. They had a little wrestling match while on the ground, and then it escalated with Myles Garrett tearing Mason Rudolph's helmet off. And then when Mason Rudolph jumps up, Myles Garrett actually clubs him over the head with his helmet and has been suspended indefinitely from the National Football League. That's through the rest of this year and potentially into next season. It's cost him about $1 million. He then went a week later after, you know, apologizing and writing an apology letter to Mason Rudolph and the Steelers. He then went to the commissioner's office to appeal his suspension and said that Mason Rudolph called him a racial slur during the melee, and that's what provoked him. And the excuse seems, you know, pretty lame. It seems pretty late in the game. He didn't do it immediately after the game. He didn't tell the press that. And so he's in the news for those reasons.
So why did he wait for so long to start talking about this racial slur? I mean, wouldn't you have imagined that if this thing actually happened on the field, number one, it's all on tape, but number two, wouldn't you have imagined that he would have used that immediately as his excuse, considering how much everybody hates racial slurs and is sympathetic to people getting violent over being called racial slurs?
Without question, but, you know, I don't think he thought it through at the time or didn't realize the repercussions of what he did would be so harsh. And so, you know, he did what people do. You know, again, I'm not analogizing him to O.J. Simpson, but when O.J. Simpson got in a bad jam, he played the race card during his trial, and it worked. Myles Garrett in a jam cost himself more than $1 million. He's playing the race card, hoping that's going to get him out of this situation.
Well, what are the chances that that works? Because obviously the media are very stacked in one particular political direction. Do you think that will have any credibility, or is the fact that it's so obviously non-credible on its face mean that people are just going to ignore it and make fun of it?
I think mostly people think it's non-credible and they're going to make fun of him. That's what's happened. I've seen a lot of woke sports writers who normally play the race card on everything. They've been calling BS on this, and they've been calling BS on Mason Rudolph. I've seen people that support Colin Kaepernick to the hilt think that, hey, Myles Garrett is completely full of BS here.
All right. So meanwhile, we've seen controversy in the last couple of weeks over Colin Kaepernick again, the man who just won't go away. So Colin Kaepernick, you know, obviously he was benched because he was not performing well, and then he started kneeling, and then he started getting headlines, and then he made millions of dollars off of a campaign where he was talking about his bravery for kneeling. Normally when you're brave, you actually have to risk something, not $1 million contract with Nike. And now he comes back. The NFL offers him the ability to do a sort of combine in front of a bunch of NFL teams, but not bring his own camera people. And he proceeds to set up an alternative combine and then accuse the NFL of racism. It seems like this is getting old for everybody. What does this say about Colin Kaepernick's original intentions in this whole debacle? And where do you think the Colin Kaepernick controversy stands at this point?
Ben, I said this when he first started kneeling. He's looking for a way to quit football. Football is too difficult for him. He's too frustrated. He wants out. He got to the end of that first season where he played and kneeled all season, and he opted out of his contract. I don't think Colin Kaepernick wants to play football anymore. I don't think any of his actions are consistent with a guy who wants to play football. And so I think the NFL basically was forced to call his bluff. All right, Colin, you're going to keep calling us racist, and we don't want you. Roger Goodell called his bluff. Hey, we're going to have 25 teams or X number of teams show up in Atlanta, put you through a workout. If you still got it, we think someone may take an interest in you and sign you. Because Colin Kaepernick doesn't want to play football anymore, he didn't show up. He came up with a bunch of excuses why. There's no transparency here. The media should be here. Colin Kaepernick is a tool being used by Nike to stir up chaos and posture as this the modern day Muhammad Ali, and it's all just a Nike campaign. It's not a guy that wants to play in the NFL.
Now, Jason, how much does the sports media bear credibility for these sorts of controversies? Because when this thing first cropped up, it could have been it could have been a nothing. Instead, it turned into a something. How much does the sports media, you know, How much are they responsible for this sort of nonsense?
I think they're, 50% of the responsibility, because they're willing to sell whatever Colin Kaepernick is selling, and they're willing to think that they're going down in history and, hey, this is our modern-day Muhammad Ali, and we want to be on the right side of history. What they don't factor in is, like, in the 1950s and 60s, people weren't worried about, hey, what is someone going to say about us 30 years from now? People were driven, the people that were actually on the right side of history as it relates to civil rights and Muhammad Ali, they were driven by, hey, what's the right thing to do right now?
Yep. Well, Jason,
not worry about.
I hear you, man.
We're
up on a break, Jason. I really appreciate your time. Coming up, we're going to talk about Impeachmentgate 2019, the latest. The New York Times sort of admitting Democrats don't have the goods. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Hear us streaming 24/7 at kcnr1460.com.
KCNR is proud to announce that we are now live at 96.5 FM, as well as online, and as always, heard on 1460 AM. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your talk radio station at the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR, now on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and always online. More than ever, we're your locally owned, community-connected talk radio.
Hi, this is Linda Bott, and let me tell you about our North State Now show on Thursday nights at 6 p.m. right here on KCNR. The first Thursday of the month will be yours truly, covering arts and entertainment and all kinds of fun stuff. The second Thursday will be Michelle Slade, highlighting and interviewing North State heroes. The third Thursday is James Masada and Rhonda Alvey, bringing you all things with Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. And the fourth Thursday from Shasta Regional Medical Center is Dr. Orna Gill, covering all things women's health. The title sponsor for North State Now is the Reading Civic Auditorium, also brought to you by the Black Bear Diner, Shasta Regional Medical Center, and Carlene's Restaurant and Bar, located at 1100 Center Street. That's North State Now, right here on KCNR, 96.5 FM, and 1460 AM. 6 p.m., North State Now.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearms specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts, with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find ammo. 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793 That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
Alan Gordon, Coach Master Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs, and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
While serving in Iraq, Sergeant Jason Nielsen suffered a paralyzing injury. Paralyzed Veterans of America's service officers are trained to help injured veterans get all the benefits they've earned. To help paralyzed veterans, visit PVA.org.
I have the goods. And the New York Times is effectively admitting that. I mean, it's a pretty amazing, amazing piece by Peter Baker today over at the New York Times, in which he effectively admits that Democrats do not have the goods on President Trump, which is one hell of an admission. The piece is called The Impeachment Witnesses Not Heard. Peter Baker writes, in recent days, lawmakers were told that when President Trump ramped up his campaign to pressure Ukraine into helping him against his domestic political rivals, he directed advisors to his personal attorney. Talk with Rudy, he instructed. But one thing lawmakers will not do is talk with Rudy. Rudy Giuliani was hardly the only offstage character during 2 weeks of impeachment hearings that ended on Thursday. Lawmakers also heard that Mike Pence and Mike Pompeo were in the loop, and that Mick Mulvaney organized the political equivalent of a drug deal and that John Bolton was adamantly against it. But among those missing from the House Intelligence Committee's witness list, besides Giuliani, were Pence, Pompeo, Mulvaney, and Bolton. Not that the panel's Democratic majority was necessarily uninterested in talking with the VP, Secretary of State, acting White House Chief of Staff, or former National Security Advisor. Democratic leaders have decided not to wage a drawn-out fight to force them to testify over White House objections. Instead, as the committee wrapped up its public hearings on Thursday, House Democrats have opted for expeditious over comprehensive, electing to complete their investigation even without filling in major gaps in the story. It is a calculated gamble. They have enough evidence to impeach Trump. Well, that's actually not what's happening here, right? They could just wait this thing out. They could. Because here is the reality of the situation. A subpoena does not mean someone has to show up. And by the way, half these witnesses have not been subpoenaed at all. At all. I mean, the fact is that Mulvaney has refused to comply with the subpoena. He's applied to a court. Giuliani, Pence, and Pompeo have defied subpoenas for documents, but they've not even been subpoenaed for testimony. So it's not that they are attempting to deny access to the Democrats. They haven't even been subpoenaed for testimony. How in the world can you take seriously a Democratic effort that does not even attempt to subpoena Giuliani for testimony? I've been saying for weeks that the only character who matters in the center of all of this, really in the end, is Trump, and by extension Giuliani, who he was talking to about this stuff all the time. Giuliani's the guy in the know. Giuliani was running Ukraine policy. The Democrats have not even subpoenaed Giuliani for testimony. They've not subpoenaed Giuliani for testimony. That's patently absurd. How can you take seriously an investigation that does not even subpoena the key witnesses and then suggest that it's in any way comprehensive? Bolton has declined an invitation to testify. He's not been subpoenaed. He's not even been subpoenaed. Again, the Democrats are playing this bizarre, stupid game where they don't subpoena witnesses and then call it obstruction when the witnesses don't show up. And you're seeing Nancy Pelosi do this. Right? Nancy Pelosi actually suggested that Republicans are engaged in obstruction of justice for not complying with subpoenas that Democrats never sent. Nancy Pelosi said, quote, they should be coming before us. They keep taking it to court. And no, we're not going to wait until the courts decide. Why aren't you going? Why? What's the rush? What's the rush, Nancy? Why not just wait until the court has its say, just like with every other subpoena fight ever in history? Instead, she says, nah, you know, we're just going to move ahead with this thing. We need to move ahead with this thing. I mean, this is craziness. She says that might be information that's available to the Senate in terms of how far we go and when we go. But we can't wait for that because, again, it's a technique. No, it's not a technique. That's called how the normal process works. When you are subpoenaed for documents, very often you object to the subpoena on grounds that the subpoena is, for example, overbroad. That's what happens with document subpoenas. And when it comes to testimonial subpoenas, you sometimes will petition a court saying the subpoena is improper. The notion that Republicans are engaged in obstruction is just a bunch of hooey. This is how the process works. But why wouldn't Democrats just wait on it? Why? With the White House defying the House, says the New York Times, Mr. Mulvaney has refused to comply for a subpoena. But all these other people have not even been subpoenaed. That case with Bolton has applied to a court, asking a judge to decide whether he should listen to the House, which has subpoenaed him, or the White House, or his invitation to testify. That case is due for oral argument in a federal district court December 10th. But even if judges rule quickly, it could be appealed all the way to the Supreme Court, which would take time. Not that much time. There's another lawsuit seeking to force Don McGahn, former White House counsel, to testify with regard to an earlier House subpoena. But that could be appealed as well. None of this suits the fast-track timetable envisioned by House Democrats. But I was made... The Democrats have insisted from the start this is not a political impeachment. They've insisted that this is all purely and simply about abiding by the dictates of the Constitution and getting to the bottom of the wrongdoing. And yet here we are, a mere 2 weeks into the investigation inquiry, and the Democrats are closing this thing, calling it a day. Does that sound like people who want to dive deep and come up with answers? Or does it sound like, we feel like we did enough damage to the president politically, we know this isn't going anywhere, so we'll just impeach him in the House, the Senate will get rid of it, and that's the end of it. What's the rush, guys? What's the rush? I said a while back that if Democrats really felt confident in their case, they would drag it out because they would feel like it was damaging Trump. But it ain't damaging Trump. Instead, it turns out they've gotten to the end of their case and they just don't have enough. Although witnesses could be still called, according to the New York Times, the Intelligence Committee concluded it scheduled public hearings after 12 witnesses and now will focus on drafting a report on the matter. It could also use the coming days to renew its press for the administration to turn over long-sought documents that have become more significant in light of the testimony. From there, the committee's report goes to the House Judiciary Committee, which traditionally handles impeachment and will then hold hearings of its own, but generally on constitutional and legal issues rather than its own fact-finding. So we're done here. We're done here. But the New York Times acknowledges 2 weeks of public hearings showed how much remains fluid. Gordon Sondland amended his original closed-door testimony after other witnesses contradicted him. Others like Bill Taylor, acting ambassador to Ukraine, Kurt Volker, special envoy, and Laura Cooper, Defense Department official, offered new information after their original interviews when reminded by their staff or other witnesses. Mulvaney has protested the testimony by Fiona Hill that put him at the center of the pressure campaign. His lawyer said Fiona Hill's testimony is riddled with speculation and guesses about any role that Mulvaney played with anything related to Ukraine. In Mulvaney's case, he has made statements that Democrats will consider evidence if not under oath because he did that press conference. But the fact is, Democrats have not complied with the entire process, and then they are accusing Republicans of not complying with the process. All of this suggests that Democrats are not confident in their own case. Now, with that said, is it smart for President Trump to go out there and accuse witnesses of lying? No, it isn't. Eileen Sullivan at the New York Times reporting that President Trump unleashed a series of statements on Friday. She says falsehoods on Friday. In an effort to invalidate the impeachment inquiry, he accused David Holmes, political counselor to the top American diplomat in Ukraine, of fabricating a phone call between Trump and the ambassador to the European Union. Trump says that never took place. He added that he barely knew Sondland. He did this interview on Fox and Friends. Also, he called Adam Schiff a sick puppy and a corrupt politician. And he said in a Senate impeachment trial he would call Schiff to testify. So Trump went after all of his enemies, but that's, of course, what he is going to do with people who are attacking him in the moment. That's what he does. But there's a lot of holes in this case, a lot of holes in this case. And Republicans basically acknowledge this, like Will Hurd, who is a Republican who is not running for re-election, right, in Texas. He's stepping down after this term, so he has no real interest in covering for the president if he thought that's what he were doing. He said, listen, I'm not seeing the evidence here, guys. And that's the fact. The Dems are moving forward without actually going through all the motions, which should tell you something. Okay, in just a second, we're going to get to Rudy Giuliani, who continues to maintain that Joe Biden bribed Ukraine, and Lev Parnas, who is a an associate of Giuliani, who's now claiming that he has evidence of Trump's guilt. We'll get to all of those breaking developments in 1 second. First, how do you protect yourself online? Well, first of all, you need to protect all your data. You just do. The reason you need to protect all your data, hackers are looking for it, big tech's looking for it, the government's looking for it, all of them making money off of you. But it's your data, so why should you do this? Well, this is why you should use ExpressVPN. It's an app I use to stay secure online. The best way to ensure all your data is encrypted? ExpressVPN. All you need to do, you download that ExpressVPN app on your computer or smartphone, you tap one button, it runs in the background of your computer, and now you have secured 100% of your network data. You can use the internet any way you want. ExpressVPN is incredibly reliable. It's the fastest VPN service I have tried, and they take privacy and security to the next level. They even have technology that is designed to ensure that your VPN servers run from RAM and no data logs are written to a server's hard drive even by accident. So, you want the best in online privacy and security? ExpressVPN. And you want a special deal? Good news for you. ExpressVPN.com/Ben for 3 extra months free with a 1-year package. Protect your internet today with the VPN I trust to keep my data safe. Go to ExpressVPN.com/Ben to get started. Again, that's ExpressVPN.com/Ben. ExpressVPN.com/Ben. Go check them out right now. Okay, so meanwhile, Rudy Giuliani is continuing his crusade. He says that Joe Biden bribed Ukraine. He has not provided any additional evidence of this at this point, but he ain't going to stop. Here's Giuliani. He's appearing with Eric Bolling.
You know the big thing in Ukraine about Biden? How he corrupted the United States of America. Just step back for a moment from this political garbage and consider how horrible it is that a vice president of the United States bribed the president of a foreign country in order to fire a prosecutor who is investigating the vice president's son, and every single person in Ukraine knows it.
Okay, well, John Solomon is making the same case. He has an entire timeline, a very lengthy timeline over at John Solomon Reports. The Hill say they're checking back into his old reports, and Solomon's like, fine, check into my old reports. He has an entire timeline with regard to Biden and Burisma, and it ain't pretty. I mean, when you stack all this stuff up, one after another, it doesn't look great. February 2014, VP Joe Biden is named by Barack Obama to be point man on Ukraine on the Ukrainian crisis. In April of 2014, Devon Archer, the business partner of Hunter Biden, son of the VP, and Christopher Hines, stepson of Secretary of State John Kerry, were named independent directors of the Ukrainian gas company Burisma Holdings. Burisma makes a bunch of payments to the Morgan Stanley accounts of Devon Archer and Hunter Biden's firm Rosemont Seneca in the amounts of $83,000 and $29,000 in April of 2014. In April of 2014, Devon Archer visits the White House and meets with VP Biden. That same month, VP Biden meets with Ukrainian Prime Minister Arseniy Yatsenyuk and urges Ukraine to ramp up energy production to free itself from its Russian natural gas dependence. Yatsenyuk welcomes American help from investors in modernizing natural gas supplies in Ukraine. In May of 2014, Hunter is announced as a board member for Ukraine's largest natural gas company, Burisma Holdings, run by Mykola Zlochevsky, a former cabinet official for the ousted President Viktor Yanukovych. That same month, Christopher Hines, business partner to Devon Archer and Hunter Biden, sends email to Secretary of State's top aides distancing himself from Archer. Biden appointments to Burisma Holdings board, according to the FOIA release to Citizens United. And Burisma continues making payments. The bottom line is the long-standing relationship between Burisma and Hunter Biden and the crossover with the Obama administration and VP Biden and Ukrainian policy is ugly, to say the least. In March 2015, Hunter Biden emailed his dad's longtime trusted aide, Deputy Secretary of State Tony Blinken, with a message. Have a few minutes next week to grab a cup of coffee? I know you're impossibly busy, but would like to get your advice on a couple of things. Best, Hunter. Blinken responded the same day with an absolutely and said, look forward to seeing you. In June of 2015, Burisma Holdings made a $20,000 donation to the Delaware Community Foundation in the name of Beau Biden, the vice president's oldest son who died of cancer, according to the company's financial records. Hunter Biden met with Tony Blinken at lunch at the State Department in July of 2015. I mean, all of this just, it looks yucky. It looks yucky at the very least. Now, does this mean that Trump or Giuliani have the goods on Biden? Not necessarily, but it certainly doesn't look particularly pretty. Does it raise suspicions? It should. Now, at the same time, the New York Daily News is reporting that Lev Parnas, who is now under prosecution, was an associate with Giuliani and was feeding him information on Ukraine. Now, he is claiming he has hard evidence of wrongdoing by President Trump and wants the American people to hear it. Joseph Bondi, who is his attorney. He says the evidence of President knowingly interacting with him is beyond cavil, and he has hard, hard firsthand evidence. So let Lev speak. Parnas was indicted along with his partner, Igor Fruman, for his role in a campaign finance scheme to benefit Trump, and he was a key player in Giuliani's effort to dig up dirt on Joe Biden and Democrats in Ukraine. Now Parnas is trying to suggest that he has goods on Trump. His attorney says that he has firsthand information important to our nation. Not sure why he shouldn't just spill that out there in the public then. But, again, what's the Democrats' rush? Why aren't they calling Lev Parnas? Right, they have all the ability to sit. They don't have much. All righty, in just a second, we're going to have Charlotte Pence on to talk about her brand-new children's book, which is a lot of fun. That begins in a moment. First, your life is about to get better. You can now watch all 3 hours of The Ben Shapiro Show commercial-free on demand. How? Well, you just pop on over to DailyWire.com. You click on the subscribe button at the top of the page. Daily Wire's premium subscribers are the only people who can watch all 3 hours every day, no commercials. That is correct, zero commercials. A Daily Wire subscription includes not only all 3 hours of this show commercial-free, but you can ask me questions through the mailbag. You can watch live and recorded episodes of The Andrew Klavan Show, The Michael Knowles Show, The Matt Walsh Show, and much more. Plus, as part of a limited-time offer, you'll get the exclusive Leftist Tears Tumblr, so you can drink the Leftist Tears, coffee, tea, whatever it is you're into, hot or cold. You can look phenomenal doing it. Are you tired of just listening to this magnificent voice? You ready to see this beautiful, beautiful face? You want to watch or listen to the show at your desk while you pretend to do work? Head on over to DailyWire.com, click on the subscribe button at the top of the page. It is the only way to get all 3 hours of The Ben Shapiro Show on demand commercial-free. No other way. Head on over to DailyWire.com, click on that subscribe button, and make the magic happen for yourself today. Alrighty, joining us in just a moment, Charlotte Pence, author of the Marlon Bundo series. We're going to talk to her about the holidays and Marlon Bundo's best Christmas ever. Should be a nice way to wrap up the week. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. It's a free service, and we've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad. There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-391-1755. That's 1-800-391-1755.
If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes, you need a new start. Our New Start program will stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS has in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Call 1-800-312-9970. Let the professionals at Coast One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-312-9970.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
Make a healthy choice about the air you breathe. Start with the Wave Smart Ventilation Unit to expel the polluted damp air from your basement and crawl space. Then add upstairs a hospital-grade 6-stage air purifier, which includes a HEPA filter and a powerful dual UV system. Stop worrying about mold, odors, radon, carbon monoxide, chemicals, and hundreds of other pollutants that are trapped in your home. Visit dryhome123.com and learn how to make your home healthier and fresher all year round. That's dryhome123.com.
If you are behind on your bills, then this message is for you. How would you like to have a large portion of your credit card debt or medical bills forgiven? National Credit Card Relief would like to give you free information on a proven debt forgiveness program. It's not bankruptcy. It's not consolidation. This special program actually wipes clean the portion of your debt that is forgiven. Call for your free forgiveness information now. 800-291-6670. That's 800-291-6670. Don't wait. Call 800-291-6670. Not available in North Dakota.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Well, you know, it's getting close to that time of the year. It is a wonderful time of the year. As an Orthodox Jew, I will say I really do appreciate Christmas season. It is quite beautiful. It's really enjoyable. And also, everybody seems to cool off just a little bit. Well, joining us on the line to discuss, Charlotte Pence, author of the Marlon Brando series. And, of course, she is the daughter of Vice President Mike Pence and Second Lady Karen Pence. Charlotte, thanks so much for joining the show.
Hi, Ben. Thanks so much for having me on.
You bet. So first of all, I want to say mazal tov on your upcoming wedding. That's very exciting stuff. You all ready for it?
Thank you. Yeah, I'm definitely ready. It's been a pretty quick turnaround of planning, but I'm really excited to finally be married. So it'll be exciting.
Yeah, marriage, a good thing. So let's talk a little bit about the Marlon Brando series. So you have a bunch of Marlon Brando books out. You have a new one called Marlon Brando's Best Christmas Ever. For folks who have no idea what Marlon Brando is, why don't you explain to folks what this is?
Sure. So Marlon is a rabbit. He is a live rabbit that lives in the vice president's residence. And he was actually my college pet. And when we moved to D.C. after the election in 2016, the media just kind of went crazy that we had a pet rabbit. And so we started an Instagram account for him and then just kind of took off from there. And so this is his third children's book, illustrated by my mom and written by me.
Well, how do you guys actually go about doing the collaborative process? Do you write the words first and then your mom draws it, or does she paint the pictures? How does it work?
Yeah, it's really fun, actually. We started doing these when I moved out of the house and I moved across the country. And so it was kind of a fun project for us to work on together. A lot of times with picture books, authors don't work with the illustrator. The illustrator is brought in after. So you just write, you know, your prose and then the illustrator is brought in. And this is totally different because obviously we can work together on it. And so I'll, you know, write it and she'll kind of tell me what she can paint, what she can't paint. She'll kind of say, hey, like, I think that, you know, a painting of this would be really good. Why don't you have a page that's like a stanza about this specific thing? And so then we take pictures and we pose Marlon for the pictures and she paints off of those. Yes. And the vice president has posed for a couple of those pictures holding Marlon.
Well, the books are really charming, which means that, of course, folks on the left have attacked the books before. Obviously, you and Colin John Oliver at HBO decided to put out his own take on Marlon Brando, in which Marlon Brando was a gay bunny, which I'm not sure why that was relevant or why you attack children's books, but apparently this is something that the left likes to do. Have you seen any additional attacks on Marlon Brando around Christmas time as part of the war on Christmas?
Yeah, I don't know, actually. Maybe. We were pretty surprised at the last one. So I remember, waking up the day of the publication and of the first book, and Marlon had, like, a bunch of new followers, and I had a suspicion it wasn't because of my Instagram skills, and it was not. So, yeah, we were pretty surprised. But, you know, I mean, we welcome the competition, I guess.
Well, yeah, I mean, the best thing that can happen to sales of your book is for the left to start attacking a children's book about a bunny. My goodness.
Yeah.
Well, Charlotte, good luck with the book, and I hope that you have a wonderful wedding. I don't think, unfortunately, we're going to be able to make it. It's that time of the year for us, too, and as far as travel and all that.
Course.
But I think it should be, you know, I hope that you have a beautiful wedding, and we'll send a gift.
Thank
and also,
you.
Everybody should go pick up a copy of Marlon Brando's Best Christmas Ever, written by Charlotte Pence and illustrated by Karen. Charlotte, thanks so much for stopping by.
Thanks so much for having me.
Okay, meanwhile, the New York Times has declared that Tulsi Gabbard, she wears a white suit, and thus she is a cult leader. Not kidding. If you ever want to read total crazy, just go to the New York Times style section. It's totally insane. I mean, it is a wild and crazy place. The style section has a long piece today by Vanessa Friedman called Tulsi Gabbard's White Pantsuit Isn't Winning. Now, what distinguishes Tulsi Gabbard's white pantsuit from Hillary Clinton's magical white pantsuit in 2016? Remember that? She wore a white pantsuit. And then, remember, all of the Democratic women wore white to the last State of the Union address to show that they stood against the sexual exploitation of women. Well, now apparently it's bad because Tulsi Gabbard's wearing it. So Tulsi Gabbard single-handedly ended the trend of white pantsuits. According to this New York Times style columnist, she should, by all accounts, be seen as the standard-bearer of the tradition so recently embraced by so many women. Yet reaction has been muted at best, more along the lines of, hey, she looks really good in white, then, our champion. Do we so quickly forget, or is something else going on? Part of the muted reaction probably has to do with the fact that Ms. Gabbard has engaged in a pretty public battle with Mrs. Clinton. It may also have to do with the fact that instead of a single female candidate on the stage, there are still four, plus Marianne Williamson, making the imagery of a woman standing in white less loaded with...
Hi, this is Linda Bott, and let me tell you about our North State Now show on Thursday nights at 6 p.m. right here on KCNR. The first Thursday of the month will be yours truly, covering arts and entertainment and all kinds of fun stuff. The second Thursday will be Michelle Slade, highlighting and interviewing North State heroes. The third Thursday is James Masada and Rhonda Alvey, bringing you all things with Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. And the fourth Thursday from Shasta Regional Medical Center is Dr. Orna Gill, covering all things women's health. The title sponsor for North State Now is the Reading Civic Auditorium. Also brought to you by the Black Bear Diner, Shasta Regional Medical Center, and Carlene's Restaurant and Bar, located at 1100 Center Street. That's North State Now, right here on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. 6 p.m., North State Now.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Gordon Griffin. Senate Republicans are taking a closer look at the likelihood they'll be presiding over an impeachment trial of President Trump in January. Here's Capitol Hill correspondent Bob Agnew.
With what Republicans have called the show trial of President Trump now complete in the House, it's expected Democrats there will finish what they began by impeaching the president next month. If so, it's likely the Senate would hold its trial, considering those charges, in January. Several GOP senators met at the White House on Thursday to discuss timelines and strategy. Media reports cite unnamed sources as predicting a Senate trial would be short, with GOP leaders eager to acquit the president as soon as they muster the needed 51 votes. Bob Agnew reporting.
President Trump says Secretary of State Mike Pompeo could run for the U.S. Senate seat in his home state of Kansas. Here's White House correspondent Greg Clugston.
Many Republicans see Pompeo as their best candidate in the U.S. Senate race in Kansas. The Secretary of State has said he's focused on his job in the Trump administration, but has left the door open for a possible run. Now, President Trump is helping open the door even wider. He told Fox and Friends he thinks Pompeo would run if there was a chance of the GOP losing that seat. And the president predicted Pompeo would win in a landslide. Greg Clugston, The White House.
A former FBI lawyer being investigated for allegedly altering a document related to surveillance of Trump campaign advisor Carter Page in 2016. The Associated Press confirmed reports by CNN and The Washington Post that the finding will be in a report Justice Department Inspector General Michael Horowitz releases December 9th. Internet connectivity trickling back in Iran after the government shut down access to the rest of the world for more than 4 days in response to unrest apparently triggered by a gasoline price hike. The shutdown across a nation of 80 million people, the first to effectively isolate a modern, highly developed domestic network. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Sebastian Gorka here. Maybe you've been hearing about Relief Factor, the 100% drug-free supplement that helps a person's body deal with inflammation and pain. You've heard all the wonderful testimonials. Well, I have my own testimonial. For many years, my lower back pain was becoming a serious problem. The short story is, I finally gave it a try, and now I'm out of pain too. So if you're in pain, you can order the 3-week quick start for just $19.95. Go to relieffactor.com.
Trade Pros. Whether you specialize in service or new construction, Ferguson knows firsthand how much work goes into a long day on the job, which is why we're committed to offering the products and solutions to get every job done right. With over 1,000 locations, an unmatched selection of specialty products, tools, and supplies, our pro pickup and same or next day delivery, you can trust that doing business with Ferguson will be the easiest part of your hard day's work. Visit Ferguson.com to find a counter location near you.
An investigation continues following yesterday morning's police shooting incident at McCarran International Airport in Las Vegas.
A man shot by Las Vegas police after they say he fought with officers knocking one of them unconscious while they tried to apprehend him after he entered a restricted area of the airport, is out of surgery and recovering at an area hospital. The wounded man, whose condition isn't publicly known, and the injured officer, who has already been released from the hospital, are yet to have been named. It isn't clear if the intruder was a passenger, but an airport spokesman says he didn't work for the airport or any of the businesses located there. The FAA says an investigation is being handled by local authorities. I'm Matt Small.
Airport spokesman Chris Jones says that the shooting happened on a tarmac between A and B gates at Terminal 1, which houses American Airlines, Allegiant Air, Delta Airlines, Southwest Airlines, Spirit Airlines, and Contour Airlines. News and analysis at townhall.com. Newport News, Virginia, getting homes made from shipping containers.
The port city will soon join Richmond to become the second place in the state with a new age housing concept. Chris Thompson is director of strategic housing for the Virginia Housing Development Authority. He thinks the container structures could help address the need for affordable housing. The state agency is donating two 960-square-foot homes, each with three bedrooms and two bathrooms. Karen Wilds is director of the city's housing authority. She says her agency will see what kind of reception the homes get before purchasing any. Keith Peters reporting.
Google spinoff Waymo is trying to educate emergency responders on how to deal with its autonomous vehicles. Waymo released a training video on YouTube Thursday geared toward guiding public safety officials responding to incidents involving their self-driving cars. The 14-minute instructional video advises how to put a car in manual mode and what precautions firefighters should take. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
I expected it to be a lot easier.
I didn't know what step to take next.
I was transitioning from the military. I was a vehicle gunner.
An avionics specialist.
I missed my unit, my family.
Playing with my daughter, I'd felt like a stranger.
I didn't have a clear sense of what to do next.
And then I thought, if I'm going through this, other veterans have gone through it too, right? So I reached out, and I saw that I wasn't alone.
Go to maketheconnection.net to learn how other veterans have overcome the challenges of transitioning out of the military.
You live here?
Yes.
Well, maybe you know what a zombie is.
When a person dies and is buried, it seems to certain voodoo priests who have the power to bring him back to life.
Horrible.
It's worse than horrible because a zombie has no will of his own. You see them sometimes walking around blindly with dead eyes, following orders, not knowing what they do, not caring.
You mean like Democrats?
Yes, I do mean like Democrats. As Bob Hope, Bob for Texaco Hope, once correctly observed, long ago, the more things change and all of that. Good Friday to you and welcome. I think Congress is out of town today, aren't they? God, I hope so. Can they just leave town and never come back? When they leave, can we lock the door and change the key? Good Friday unto you and welcome. We are at 888-630-9625. 888-630-9625. Big news today. We had is it the grand finale? It went out with a whimper and not with a bang. There's a conspiracy theory afoot. Have you heard about the conspiracy theory? Here's the conspiracy theory. The conspiracy theory is that Republicans don't admit that the Russians meddled in the 2016 election. It is a lie so big that Gergel, I think, would be appalled by its shamelessness. Well, that's his name, right? Gergel. I think his name is Gergel. Gergel, Gergel, Gergel. At least that's what I learned from watching NBC News.
Did I hear you correctly say that perhaps he was influenced by Gergel?
could have been influenced by Gergel. I'm not entirely sure, but it might have been Gergel himself. He's a multi-million-dollar-a-year network talent. He's a journalist and apparently a historian, too. The Reverend Al Sharpton. What a disgrace this country has become, thanks to our media and the Democratic Party. So the conspiracy theory is, and I'm going to just rip this to shreds today because these frauds really just need to be stuffed in duffel bags and beaten with reeds. People like Adam Schiffless up there, he should be used as a boat bumper on the USS Ronald Reagan, I think is what should happen. Just as, for 6 months or so, then we'll cut him loose. It's absolutely amazing how shamelessly dishonest this man is, Adam Schiffless. They go around peddling this, and the witness yesterday, she is a mid-level bureaucrat, and she came in and introduced. We played the audio yesterday in yesterday's big radio program, where she said, pointing at the Republicans, "You people don't even believe that Russia meddled in the 2016 election, and you think Ukraine did instead. That's a conspiracy theory." No one has ever said that. Not a single person has ever said anything like that. And yet the Democrats go around saying that. And yesterday, the witness, who apparently watches MSNBC or CNN for her news, so she's wrong about everything that she believes to be true. And she said, "You," in her opening statements, in a fit of partisan rancor, accused the Republicans of believing a falsehood that the Russians didn't meddle, the Ukrainians did. Now, that's a lie that the Democrats peddle. And so a couple of several, in fact, Republican members of the committee took umbrage and took issue with this false, slanderous smear by the witness. And they corrected the witness by producing a report hundreds of pages in length produced by that very committee, the House Intelligence Committee, which is entirely on Russian meddling in the 2016 election, and recommendations that the committee made in order to prevent future meddling by the Russians and by others, mind you. Thank you very much. But the Democrats, they've hitched their wagon to this Russia star, and you may not talk about it. We played the audio yesterday of Leslie Stahl admonishing President Trump for mentioning China as well. No, why say, don't say China, just say Russia. Just say Russia. The party line is you're supposed to just say Russia. And so they've made up this lie that they spread around the world that Republicans are so crazy. Ooh, they're spreading a conspiracy theory that the Russians didn't meddle, the Ukrainians did. Completely, patently, absurdly false. And they know it's false, but they continue to say it anyway. And I will prove that Adam Schiff is a liar and just a giant lion Sacagawea, this boy is. And I will prove it today. The Elise Stefanik and Jim Jordan and at least one other Republican on the committee all pointed out the truth of the matter, which is that, yes, Russia meddled in the 2016 election because they're flipping commies. They're lefties, and lefties destroy everything. They poison everything. And that what Putin, the old KGB guy, and his commie pals in Russia, that's what they're up to. That's what they do. And they do it in Western Europe, and they do it everywhere. Because that's what they do. They're the left. They're the army of Satan, along with radical Islam. And so this is made abundantly clear during the hearing that this falsehood that the Democrats continue to spread is just a conspiracy theory being propagated by the Democrats and the left. And then in his closing statements, Adam Schiff comes out and says, "You crazy Republicans going around saying that the Russians didn't meddle in the elections and that Ukraine did." And it doesn't matter. No, there's no amount of truth that holding the report up in front of him, which he knows. He's the chair of the committee. And he knows that the committee produced this report on Russian meddling. And still, he suspends disbelief. He suspends reality. And he continues to spew this venomous falsehood. Because he's a pissant punk, I think, is, and that's a little generous, really. I have to keep it to that because I'm on the radio. And then the Washington Post today and Philip Bump, they call him Bumpy because he's got a skin problem. Bumpy, at the Washington Post, he's a servant of Dr. Evil and of Satan, his lord and master. And, Philip Bump with his headline today, Fiona Hill, she's the one who was spreading the falsehood and then was corrected repeatedly yesterday. Fiona Hill tells Devin Nunes to his face Well, it's a hearing room. They're facing each other, of course. How could she not tell him to his face? I guess it could be like an Adam Schiff closed door secret dungeon hearing or something like that. Fiona Hill tells Devin Nunes to his face that his Ukraine conspiracy theory is harmful. Now, there is no Ukraine conspiracy theory. The conspiracy theory is, I mean, honestly, whatever they're accusing you of, they're doing at that moment. It's a case of projection, once again. They accuse you of spreading conspiracy theories when you're not, but they are. It's just, it's classic left-wing chaos. It's social chaos, political chaos. I assume it's by design because Adam Schiff is evil, but he's not stupid. He is, he should have scales and red eyes. He's a creep. And I will play the audio for you. If you don't think so now, you will think so after I play the audio for you. You will know what I know. And then you can choose to erase it from your memory bank and not believe it if you just want to go back to watching MSNBC being tube-fed a steady diet of falsehoods and conspiracy theories, by the way. And if you think that Joe Biden's son getting that job is just normal, then you're corrupt. Then your party has made you corrupt. And you think that's okay? Then now I'm sorry to have to be the one to give you the news. But they've made you corrupt, and now you're corrupt too. Speaking of corrupt, another story broke overnight. And it was leaked to CNN so that CNN would put that Democrat Party polish on this this thing. And it was given to their guy, Evan Perez, apparently, who allegedly covers the Justice Department. But really, he's the Democrat Party's handmaiden at the Justice Department for CNN. The headline is exclusive, colon. That means it was leaked to them by someone in the Justice Department who's trying to a Democrat Party friendly in CNN and Evan Perez. And then they went on television, I guess, with Wolf Blitzer, and they mentioned their big explosive exclusive story. And then I think that I'm told that CNN never went back to it. They just ignored their own big explosive exclusive because it doesn't serve the interests of the party, capital T, capital P, to which they are utterly submissive and subservient, and that is, of course, the Democrat Party. The headline is exclusive, colon, former FBI lawyer under investigation after allegedly altering document in 2016 Russia probe. Oh, you mean the one where James Comey used Hillary Clinton's opposition research, which was gotten by way of a foreign secret agent who got it from Russian intelligence, and then James Comey and the FBI and John Brennan at the CIA stripped all of the identifying markers off of it, which revealed that it was just Hillary Clinton's opposition research, presented it to the FISA court to get warrants to spy on a Naval Academy grad who has since been completely exonerated. Is that the one that we're talking about, Carter Page? Well, now it turns out a former FBI lawyer, and again, what's more sinister about this than anything, is that the creeps inside the Justice Department who are still doing the bidding of the Democrat Party are leaking this top secret stuff, part of an ongoing investigation to CNN because they know that CNN will play it down and it'll be like there's nothing to it. They'll spin it for them, minimize it for them, and then ignore it for them. And that's what CNN has done. A former FBI lawyer is under criminal investigation after allegedly altering a document related to a 2016 surveillance of Trump campaign advisor. A Trump campaign advisor that they don't identify her, but everybody believes it to be Carter Page. The possibility of a substantive change to an investigative document is, now I love this, listen to this. They immediately turn it into political polemics and turn it against Trump because that's why they leaked it to Evan Perez and CNN because they know that they would do the Democrat job on it, the full Democrat job. Instead of just doing straight reporting, all right? First sentence, a former FBI lawyer under criminal investigation after allegedly altering a document related to 2016 surveillance of a Trump campaign advisor. Several people briefed on the matter told CNN. Several? What do they have, like bring them into a room, got a room full of people? All right, look, we're going to give this to you, but we really want you to spin it for us. And here's sentence number two. The possibility of a substantive change to an investigative document is likely to fuel accusations from President Donald Trump and his allies. Now, this is not the most important thing, not by a long shot. This is like paragraph number eight, if you're a journalist and not just spinning it on behalf of the party. I know I used to be one, and that's why I can read their codes. You know, I can crack their, they're like Enigma, but I have the Enigma machine. The possibility of a substantive change to an investigative document is likely to fuel accusations from President Donald Trump and his allies that the FBI committed wrongdoing. Well, this is wrongdoing, so naturally, now, you know what it should do? It should fuel CNN to conclude that the FBI committed wrongdoing, because that's actually what you just learned. And if you were in the news business instead of the Democrat butt-kissing business, then this wouldn't be your second sentence, but you're a crook, Evan Perez. And there's another person here, Caitlin Polance. Caitlin Polance. And her name is actually first, so that means she actually wrote it and probably got the leak and probably did most of the work on it, but he's the on-air guy. So there it is, their concern that President Trump and his allies may suggest that the FBI committed wrongdoing in its investigation of connections between Russian election meddling and the Trump campaign, of which we now know there was none. But that's not noted here, as a matter of fact. You know how they always say, Joe Biden and his son, there is no evidence of wrongdoing. They jump in to volunteer that, the Manderson poopers of the world and the fake journalists at CNN all over the place. But here, without that, I mean, there is. We now know, after years of investigation, the millions of dollars and hundreds of subpoenas and search warrants and all this stuff, we found that there was no connection between Trump or the Trump campaign and Russian meddling. But they don't feel obliged to throw that in here because they're filthy corrupt. I've read two sentences now. Hang on just a sec. This is political garbage put out by Evan Perez and CNN. After CNN first reported on the investigation, really on the investigation, which investigation is that, the one predating history? The Washington Post reported that the inspector general concluded the alteration did not change the validity of the surveillance application. They're as corrupt as the day is long. The third sentence rushes to the defense of the person that committed the crime. Of course, CNN hired Andrew McCabe, who was, the number two guy at the FBI who was fired for being a serial liar, which is what they love at CNN. They love liars. They love Adam Schiff and Andrew McCabe. And if you're a certified credentialed liar, you've got a pretty good chance of getting a job at CNN because they love lying. The finding is expected to be part of a Justice Department Inspector General Michael Horowitz's review of the FBI efforts to obtain warrants under the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act on Carter Page, a former Trump campaign aide. Horowitz will release the report next month, allegedly. Horowitz turned over evidence on the allegedly altered document to John Durham. And who's leaking it to CNN now? And you see, this is just what they paid for when they bought and paid for CNN and for Evan Perez. They got one sentence. See, the real story is we got more criminal activity at the FBI surrounding the probably illegal surveillance activities of the Republican presidential campaign in 2016 by the Obama administration. You know, so Obama's name hasn't come into it. Loretta Lynch's name hasn't come into it. James Comey's name hasn't come into it. Brennan's name hasn't come into it, because they're putting out a press release for the Democrat Party in an effort to soften, to cushion the blow, and look for more leaks to come from Democrats inside the Deep State Department and the Justice Department, probably over the weekend and throughout next week before the report comes out. Because then when the report comes out, CNN will say, we already know all this. And they won't put the pieces together, give you the big picture, create graphics. They won't do all that stuff for you. And it's good. Evan Perez is a Democrat Party handmaiden. He's a footman for the party. You can tell by the way this is written. The first three sentences are a case study in corrupt journalism. I could take this to a journalism school where they don't teach journalism, they teach activism. And I could explain why Evan Perez should be sent home with a dunce cap to his parents. But there it is. And now I'll report it as it should have been reported coming up.
There's only one Chris Plant. The Chris Plant Show.
With an Allstate agent, you get a local expert to find the best coverage for you. And because they live in your community, you can always count on them when you need them most. When you bundle home and auto, you'll save. Call your local Allstate agent today. Are you in good hands?
Haul packages for a living? A gas-powered Mercedes-Benz Sprinter delivers. Transport people? A Sprinter van with 0% financing is a five-star idea. If food delivery is your thing, then a gas Sprinter caters to you. And if you're a general contractor, the Sprinter with 0% financing nails it. With innovation, safety, and technology, Sprinter is built for you. And it's built for your bottom line with 0% financing. The Mercedes-Benz Sprinter, starting at just $33,790. And for a limited time with IRS Section 179, you could be eligible for up to a $25,000 tax deduction. Gas engine, 0% financing, and a possible tax deduction? Now that's a Sprinter that delivers. Mercedes-Benz. Vans. Born to run.
MSRP excludes all options, taxes, title, registration, transportation, charge, and dealer prep fee. Options, mile availability, and actual dealer price may vary. See dealer for details about costs and terms. Only valid on 2018 or 2019 Mercedes-Benz Sprinter vans, excluding cab chassis. Qualified commercial customers only. Financing offer valid through January 2nd, 2020. Consult your tax advisor. For more information, limits may apply. Visit mbvans.com.
Hi, my name's Christina Stumble, and I own Farm Girl Flowers in San Francisco. With my Spark Cash Card from Capital One, I earn unlimited 2% cash back on all my business purchases. Last year, I redeemed $115,000 in cash back. Yeah, $115,000. And that doubled our digital marketing budget for the summer. Thanks to my Spark Card, we had our best summer yet. Imagine what the Spark Card from Capital One could do for your business. What's in your wallet?
Real Capital One customers pay for real stories. Credit approval required.
What's in store this holiday at your local Staples?
Decking the halls with custom cards and invitations.
Staples makes connecting with clients and loved ones easy. With hundreds of holiday templates you can customize and call your own.
And right now, get 20% off select custom cards and invitations. Some can even be printed same day.
So deck the halls faster and for less this year at Staples.
Where there's a whole lot in store this holiday.
Ends 12/28/19. Limit 1. Visit staples.com/holiday cards or store for details.
Hey, this is Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans. Quicken Loans is celebrating our best quarter ever, and now we're celebrating some of the lowest refinancing rates ever. Rates have dropped so much that many Americans can reduce their rate. You may be able to save money on your monthly mortgage payment right now. The rate today on our 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 3.99%, APR 4.18%. Call us at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com to learn more.
Rates subject to change. Pay 1.375% fee to receive this discounted rate. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
With an Allstate agent, you get a local expert to find the best coverage for you. And because they live in your community, you can always count on them when you need them most. When you bundle home and auto, you'll save. Call your local Allstate agent today. Are you in good hands?
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard to find ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
Thank you.
The FBI and the Department of Justice conduct court-ordered electronic surveillance. I have never thought of that as spying.
Yeah, the rest of the world thinks of it as spying. Maybe you should buy a dictionary or a thesaurus or something and learn the English language. Then you'll have a better handle on what you're doing. That was, of course, James Comey. We got him lying under oath on camera, right? Is he going to be held to the same standard as Michael Flynn? No? As Paul Manafort? No? Probably not, huh? That's because we live in a very corrupt city and a very corrupt time, a very corrupt government, and a very corrupt media. A lot of corruption. All I ask is that everybody held to the same standard. Is that an un-American thing to suggest that we all be held to the same standard, whether you're a highfalutin government official traveling in an armored SUV or whether you're just riding your unicycle down the street? That's the idea of this country, is we're held to the same standard. But that's not the case as I see it. Hillary Clinton destroyed 33,000 emails. They had a shredding party at the State Department to destroy documents on a weekend in civilian clothes, you know, not all dressed up for business. Ooh, hey, what are you doing here? Didn't expect to see you here. They had people smash the communications devices, their phones and tablets and laptops, with hammers in order to destroy the hard drives when they knew there was an investigation going on. The 33,000 emails that were destroyed at least 2 weeks after the Congress issued a subpoena for those very documents, and they destroyed them weeks afterward, and there are no consequences for that. What, with a cloth or something? They wiped the server clean. They used bleach bit. We learned a while back that the FBI altered their 302s, you know, these forms when they do an interview with a subject. Regarding General Michael Flynn, you know how they love to wrap themselves in the American flag and Lieutenant Colonel Vindman? They hanged three-star General Michael Flynn, and they falsified the 302 reports. Now we discovered they falsified additional reports. More coming up.
This is the Chris Plant Show.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert, like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
Hey guys, I'm Bob the Drop. Welcome to my podcast. Do you like water? If you do, you're going to love me. I'm pure and simple. I'm talking refreshing. Yeah. Spent 500 years in a glacier. The boy was that cold. I never was and never will be tap water. Nope. Bottled at the source, the base of Mount Shasta. Yep, pure and simple. Naturally the best. You can try me by calling 1-800-922-6227. Mount Shasta Spring Water.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs, and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
KCNR is proud to announce that we are now live at 96.5 FM, as well as online, and as always, heard on 1460 AM. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your talk radio station at the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR, now on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and always online. More than ever, we're your locally owned, community-connected talk radio.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
All right. Now, CNN had the big breaking news yesterday when their boy Evan Perez was fed this information by anti-Trump leakers, probably committing a crime to leak. You know, this is the kind of thing that Barack Obama prosecuted more than all other U.S. presidents combined. When they found someone leaked something, there was a leak, they saw it in the paper, they saw it in the media, they saw it on CNN. The Obama administration launched a full-blown intelligence operation. They used the Espionage Act, the Obama administration did, and the Justice Department investigated leaks, found out who the leaker was, and put them in prison. Now, I think Trump should do the same thing here, start throwing some of these rascals behind bars. Put him in the who's gow, slam him in the can, send him to, send him to Supermax and throw away the key. Of course, you really can't do that, but, you know, go ahead, do what Obama did and watch the news media go crazy over it, because they're nothing if not hypocrites. Barack Obama prosecuted, I believe, 8 cases under the Espionage Act, which was created in 1917, I believe, and has been used a total of 3 times since. Until we got to Obama, was used a total of 3 times since. Until we got to Obama, they trotted out the Espionage Act to pursue people that leaked information that they didn't leak themselves, and they prosecuted the hell out of them. Also, the Obama administration spied on Fox News, they spied on the New York Times, they spied on the Associated Press, they spied on Cheryl Atkinson at CBS News, although that was not conclusively proven. They spied on the Senate Intelligence Committee, and Brennan lied about it, and was then caught lying about spying on the Senate Intelligence Committee. And it seems abundantly clear they spied on the Trump campaign. And now it's still continuing to dribble out in the usual corrupt Washington way, with corrupt left-wingers inside the Justice Department leaking this very sensitive information to the likes of Evan Perez, who immediately turns it into, oh, Trump and his allies will say that the FBI committed wrongdoing. I got an idea, Evan Perez. Why don't you say that the FBI committed wrongdoing, because that's what you learned. Try being a news reporter for just a day. Just try it out. Try your big boy pants on. Try being a man and reporting the news like a man, or like a woman, because women can report the news too. But Evan Perez can't, and CNN can't. And this the way this is written is completely, it's not only upside down, it leaves out all of the essential elements. We already know a great deal, and then there's a great deal that is believed that has yet to be established, but you're not going to find any of it being reported on CNN. And with that, let's go to Evan Perez, who is very excited. His Democrat friends at the Department of Justice, or his co-worker Caitlin's Democrat friends at the Department of Justice, illegally leaked this stuff to him. But, Chris Cuomo, Megilla Gorilla, what a moron. You see him try to call his mom yesterday? What an idiot. But he famously said of the WikiLeaks emails, you can't read them. It's illegal for you to read them, but because we're the media, we can. He went to law school. His father, Papa Doc Gubiner, sent him to law school, and that's what he got for his money. Not a lot, I got to say. Of course, it helps if when you show up, you've got a brain larger than a walnut. Just saying. So, Evan Perez, very excited about the news yesterday afternoon. He ran in to tell Wolf Blitzer all about it. And Evan Perez, I think this might be the only time they reported it.
We've got some breaking news that we're following right now. Our senior justice correspondent, Evan Perez, is learning new information about the origins of the Russia probe and what there's somebody under investigation right now.
You didn't learn anything
about
the origins.
That's right. Well, this is an investigation that began and was found as part of the probe that's being done by Michael Horowitz, the Inspector General for the Justice Department. And what he found was that there was an employee at the FBI who altered a document that was used in the preparation for one of the FISA warrants, one of the warrants, surveillance warrants.
Sinister.
That was done against Carter Page, who
criminal.
Was the Trump campaign aide. This document, whatever changes were made, was substantive enough to change the meaning of the document. We don't know a lot more about it. We don't know, for instance, whether without this change the FISA would have been approved or not. But it is a substantive change that was made to this document.
Obama?
And Michael Horowitz confronted this FBI employee during one of the interviews that was done as part of this review. And that person admitted to making that change.
Say,
now
Comey.
This is part of a criminal investigation that's being done
criminal
by
of
John
who?
Durham.
Who's the criminal? By John Durham. He's the U.S. attorney from Connecticut who's investigating more broadly the corruption and criminal activities, apparently, of the Obama administration, the Loretta Lynch Justice Department, the James Comey FBI, the John Brennan CIA, the abuse of the FISA process. Now, again, we learned when? Maybe a couple of months ago now, that the FBI altered documents having to do with the investigation of Michael Flynn, of General Michael Flynn, 33-year decorated Army veteran. You know, he's got his CIB, too, his combat infantryman's badge. And he's got, does he have a Purple Heart? I don't think he does have a Purple Heart. He's very heavily decorated. Not everybody. You really don't want one of those. Not everybody, but Michael Flynn, very heavily decorated. News media doesn't love him. They don't revere him. They don't respect him. They don't defer to him. Carter Page, Naval Academy grad, former naval officer. They don't defer to him. They don't respect him. They don't, you know, they don't praise him and his integrity and all of this good stuff. And, of course, Tulsi Gabbard, who's a major in the U.S. Army Reserve, served in Iraq, proudly decorated veteran. And they call her a Russian asset on CNN. Were it not for double standards, liberals would have no standards at all. But we did learn, let's see, in June that the FBI altered these documents called 302s. Congressman Mark Meadows, chair of the Freedom Caucus, said that one focused the FBI interview reports known as 302 reports about General Flynn were altered to improve the chances that he'd be prosecuted. What kind of a banana republic backwater Louisiana Bayou corrupt sheriff do we have running the Justice Department under Barack Obama? This is like Macon County Line comes to Washington, D.C. I had a pretty obscure old movie at this point. You know, corrupt redneck town sheriff, don't drive through there. It's worse here in Washington, D.C. So wait a minute. They altered the 302s. You see these corrupt FBI agents. Who? Peter Stroke? Oh, no, Peter Stroke again. Went over to the White House, set up General Flynn because they hate. And then they went back and they altered this 302 report. They're supposed to write up a report on what they learned in the interview, what they picked up in the interview. And they wrote it up, and then it was altered to make it look sinister. And that's criminal. And if that's what they're doing to railroad a 32-year, 33-year Army veteran, Lieutenant General Director of the DIA, National Security Advisor, because they're out to get the administration, then people need to go to prison for a very long time, just for altering the 302s on General Flynn alone. Now, Evan Perez is trying to soften the blow for his party, the Democrat Party, on the latest leak from lefties, because they don't want it all to come out at once. It might be an actual bombshell instead of one of these phony bombshells that they talk so much about around here. Now we learn that they phonied up another document at the FBI in order to get the FISA warrant for to spy on Naval Academy grad Carter Page, who has since been completely and utterly exonerated. Understand? See how that goes? These people are crooked. Comey is crooked. Loretta Lynch is crooked. John Brennan is crooked. Barack Obama's administration is crooked. And to the extent that Barack Obama knew about it, and listen, Barack Obama knew that they were spying on the Trump campaign. You don't launch a counterintelligence operation with global operations going on, human intelligence operatives out there from Malta to Italy, Australia, England, Russia, Ukraine. Yeah, I said it, Ukraine, conspiracy theory. Oh, no, it's conspiracy theory. And we got the emails from from Stroke and Page and from Bruce Orr and Nellie Orr. These people are crooked, and they railroaded person after person in the 2016-2017 time frame, and now they're trying to use Evan Perez and CNN to smooth things out for him. Preet Bharara is now, I think, the former U.S. Attorney for the Southern District of New York and a very vocal anti-Trump former U.S. Attorney, very vocal anti-Trump U.S. Attorney. He was sitting there. He must be crooked because CNN hired him, and they only hire crooks, really. You got Andrew McCabe there and lots of crooks. Preet Bharara was sitting there, and he wants to polish this turd because he's sitting there on the set, you know, Lucite desk, just in case Matt Lauer or Mark Halperin show up. They want to see what their hands are doing. And there he is, and he's like, wow, this really doesn't sound good. Preet Bharara.
Well, that's kind of an alarming bit of news. Obviously, based on what Evan is saying, there's a lot we don't know. But given the description he has provided, if there was an FBI agent sworn to uphold the Constitution who can be proven to have altered a document in connection with a legal proceeding, including the obtaining of a FISA warrant, that's really serious. It doesn't get a lot more serious than that. I'd like to know the details of what the nature of the change was, if there's a mistake in some way. Based on that reporting, it doesn't sound like a good thing. It's a terrible thing. You know, the law enforcement agents and prosecutors who work with them are sworn to uphold the Constitution, sure, but actually even exceed the protections in the Constitution. They have to be of the utmost integrity and the utmost candor.
Right.
And when, especially you're making a representation of the court.
Like McCabe.
Which is what a FISA application is.
That's why CNN hired him.
It's got to be on the up and up. And I know there's been a lot of political fighting about whether or not there was proper candor, and there was this back and forth with the House, within the House Intelligence Committee.
McCabe is sitting
the
there.
The positions were reversed between David Nunes and Adam Schiff. And that looked like a lot of politics. This particular thing that Evan Perez has just broken the story on does sound serious.
It does sound serious. Yeah, thanks for your considered opinion on that, Preet Bharara. None of these people follow the news. And if to the extent they do follow the news, they apparently have no memory for news. Again, it has long since been accepted and reported that James Comey used Hillary Clinton's opposition research to go get the FISA warrants to spy on the Trump campaign. It's electronic surveillance, not spying. They're synonymous. Look it up, okay? And then the news media reported, and I just looked up the headlines this morning and some of the stories again this morning. The news media was very excited to report again and again that, well, it wasn't only, you see, Hillary Clinton's opposition research, which we grandiosely refer to as the dossier, which is just opposition research. It wasn't just Hillary's oppo research that they used to get the FISA warrant. The news media assured us, NBC News, they all assured us there was more. Now we're learning that the more has been tampered with, that the more was altered by an FBI lawyer who is no longer there. And, you know, there's an FBI lawyer who is no longer there, and her name is Lisa Page. Now, I don't know if she's just like a one-woman cancer on our justice system or whether it's a different one, a different lawyer. They didn't say it's a woman. They just said it's a lawyer who no longer works there. She's a lawyer who no longer works there who we know is crooked. So, and she spent a lot of time in the Xerox room, apparently, with Peter Strzok. Woohoo! So we know that they've been corrupt all over the place, but the news media, they don't take these pieces, which are all on the table in front of them there, and put them together to give you a more complete picture. They don't do that. They take one little piece a day and slap it down for you, and then change the subject and get back to calling things conspiracy theories when they're true, and saying that they're true when they're conspiracy theories. That's the role of our news media today. Let's go to the telephones, shall we? Let's go to Carmen calling from Texas. Carmen.
Hey, good morning, Chris. How you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing well. A little extremely frustrated because Adam Schiff is an absolutely despicable human being.
Yes, he is.
You know, he started out this impeachment inquiry with a lie by misrepresenting the conversation between President Trump and President Zelensky. Then he ended it with a big lie.
Yep.
By misrepresenting the Republicans actually believing that there was no meddling, when in fact that's not at all what it was about.
Yep.
It was about them accusing President Trump being associated with that Russian meddling.
Being a mole, of being a Soviet asset, a Soviet agent, a Russian asset agent, which is what they go around calling everybody now. I mean, honestly, Swalwell called Tucker Carlson a Russian stooge, a Russian agent. They call everybody, Tulsi Gabbard, Jill Stein is a Russian agent, but, you know, she's a commie. But they call everybody Russian assets. And Tulsi Gabbard is a decorated veteran, United States Army veteran, and a Democrat member of Congress. And Hillary Clinton, their standard bearer, called her a Russian asset, which is the equivalent of agent. But you made a brilliant observation, Carmen, which is that he opened with a lie and he closed with a lie. The lie was the made-up script of the phone call, which he should have been tossed out of the hearing room and barred from the committee from that point on. And then he ended with another lie, and I'm going to play the audio today just to show what a big fat liar the worm is.
And Chris, speaking of Hillary Clinton, isn't it interesting how they were incensed when there was that quote-unquote character assassination of a single state employee, but they fully supported Hillary Clinton insulting tens of millions of Americans by calling us basket of deplorables, racists, homophobes, and xenophobes.
Also, did you hear that this woman, Marie Yovanovitch, that was, you know, they're all the hero of the revolution while they're testifying, they believe, against Trump. Marie Yovanovitch was the U.S. ambassador to Ukraine. She was selected by Barack Obama to fill that slot. When President Trump was elected, she refused to post the picture of President Trump in the U.S. Embassy in Ukraine, apparently because she's a political fanatic.
Yeah, and she Glenn Beck did a brilliant piece on her with regard to that so-called do not prosecute list, which again was another misrepresentation presented during those hearings. You know, maybe she didn't physically hand a list, but as Glenn Beck reported, she did provide a list, and then the individual she spoke with wrote it down and said, "Are these the people you are referring to?"
It is. It's quite a remarkable little country we've created for ourselves here. Carmen, very good to hear your voice. Thank you for checking in. I've never seen Washington this corrupt. I've never seen I've been watching it for decades now, and I've never seen anything this corrupt. It is spectacularly corrupt. And it's going to get worse before it gets better. This leak to CNN is just another corrupt act by corrupt people in a corrupt machine, in a corrupt department, in a corrupt city, in a corrupt government. And Evan Perez is a useful idiot. And by the way, I will demonstrate today also that they are in fact the ones doing Putin's bidding for him. It's as obvious, as plain as the nose on your face. Why is it as plain as the nose on your face?
You're listening to The Chris Plant Show.
I'm Dr. Jeff Gooden, and I treat pain with Salonpas. That's because practicing good medicine is my responsibility as a doctor. For back or joint pain, I agree with CDC guidance that recommends using topical pain relievers first, like Salonpas Patch Large. Salonpas is powerful, FDA-approved to relieve debilitating moderate pain, yet non-addictive and gentle on the body. Look for the green Salonpas box in the pain relief aisle. Salonpas. It's good medicine.
Sponsored by Hizamitsu.
The media attacks against President Trump just won't stop. If you're tired of the media war on Trump, tune in to Newsmax TV, America's new conservative news channel. This week, Newsmax has Mike Reagan, Alan Dershowitz, Bill O'Reilly, Pat Buchanan, and our Truth Squad exposing the media lies. Check out Newsmax TV now on DirecTV, Xfinity, Dish, Spectrum, Cox, Optimum, Fios, UVerse, Suddenlink, and more. Just check your channel guide. Millions are watching Newsmax TV because it's real news for real people.
Liberty Mutual Insurance Company presents
and Doug.
Limu, when we're not telling people that Liberty Mutual customizes your car insurance so you only pay for what you need, I've actually been moonlighting as a DJ. What? Check it! Here's the good part!
Liberty, 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 liberty.
Only pay for what you need at libertymutual.com.
Don't miss Kohl's Friends and Family Sale. Take an extra 25% off. Save on family jammies, women's sweaters, $22.50 and under. And save on select kitchen electrics. Plus, snap a free picture with Santa at Kohl's this Sunday from 1 to 3 and get a free gift. You'll find new gifts at every turn this holiday at Kohl's.
Select styles, 25% offer valid November 20th through 24th with promo code FRIENDS. Some exclusions apply. One gift per child while supplies last. See store or Kohl's.com for details.
Hi, this is Linda Bott, and let me tell you about our North State Now show on Thursday nights at 6 p.m. right here on KCNR. The first Thursday of the month will be yours truly, covering arts and entertainment and all kinds of fun stuff. The second Thursday will be Michelle Slade, highlighting and interviewing North State heroes. The third Thursday is James Masada and Rhonda Alvey, bringing you all things with Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. And the fourth Thursday from Shasta Regional Medical Center is Dr. Orna Gill, covering all things women's health. The title sponsor for North State Now is the Reading Civic Auditorium, also brought to you by the Black Bear Diner, Shasta Regional Medical Center, and Carlene's Restaurant and Bar, located at 1100 Center Street. That's North State Now, right here on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. 6 p.m., North State Now.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
Yeah, why would any of this be a problem anyway? If we're going to be a banana republic, let's just become a banana republic. The left is here. They come with a complete package. They turn everything into a third world style department, agency, economy, law enforcement. Let's go to David calling from Richmond, Virginia. David, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Good morning, Chris. How are you?
I'm great, David. Thanks.
I am skeptical and cynical by nature. I told your call screener, I make doubting Thomas in the Bible look gullible.
Uh-huh.
I don't trust anything.
Uh-huh.
I thought this whole deep state thing was just a cute little term for people that worked in Washington.
Yeah.
I'm a believer. Hands to the air. Hallelujah. Amen. Pass the basket, man. I believe it.
I never used the term for a very long time, and I'm the same position as you. And I said, you know, deep state, deep schmate, you got some bad actors here and there, perhaps. But now I see something much bigger and much more insidious.
Oh, yeah. And the thing is, they are actively working against the president in the areas that he has executive power to do what he wants to do. I understand having to go through Congress to make laws, to get laws passed, to budget and all that sort of stuff. But in foreign policy, where he sets the policy and you have people that are actively working against that, that's a problem.
That is a big problem. Yeah, you're right about that. Doubting David from Richmond, Virginia. Look, you're 100% right. And I'm with you. I didn't go all in with this deep state thing. But you may remember the former acting CIA director, John McLaughlin, just a couple of weeks ago.
Thank God for the deep state.
It's out in the open now, and they love it.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.